I had a guy on the elevator one time, the first person I ever saw die. Whoa. Consistently.
Saw him die?
I was, his daughter and I are bringing his bed up to his room. He's 98 years old or whatever. A million
With
years
him
old.
In it. Hmm? With him in the bed?
He's in the bed.
Okay.
And he's like.
It's on wheels.
It's on wheels. I'm rolling the bed in the way. We can't fit her in the elevator. I get on the elevator.
Oh, no.
I see this guy. He goes. And then nothing. And I'm like, huh. Okay. Get off the elevator. She walks over. She's like, what happened to my dad? Another one bites the dust. Another one bites the dust. And another one gone. And another one gone. Another one bites the dust. Hey, hey. Gonna get you too. Another one bites the dust.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Ari Shaffir. What was that? What I mean, right off the bat, what am I doing? It's like a Dracula voice in February with a topic that has nothing to do with vampires. I mean, if I would think things out a little bit, I could be a way, way better comic and performer. No, I think it out on stage. Just not in this. Guys, this isn't my focus. If you haven't noticed by me doing a sparse amount of podcasts lately, this ain't my focus. I'm glad you guys like it, and I'll put everything into it, but I ain't going to break from my life. My focus is number one, stand-up. Number two, live my life. Maybe this third? I don't even know if that's true. Anyway, I'll try to be better. I will. I'm going to try. I can't promise I'll try, according to Bart, but I do promise I'll try to try. On today's episode... Episode 348. I have Greg Stone on. I'm just doing right off the top. I'm not doing it like normal where I fucking save it till fucking 19 minutes in. Right off the top, I'm letting you know what it is. Greg Stone used to work in the emergency room at some hospital. A better interviewer would have found out which hospital. Ari doesn't care. Yeah, he just worked. I don't know. Some hospital. He worked in the emergency room. And so we talked about that. Greg Stone is a very funny comic. And the reason he's on specifically today... is because he has a new album out called The Amazing Greg Stone. You guys, here's what you should know. I do this podcast for draw, but occasionally I do it for money, for ads. That's why I'm trying to get to Patreon. Oh, I got to tell you. I had a nice long talk with Patreon. They were kind enough to fucking save 30 minutes for me to explain their policies and everything that's going on with that Sargon guy and Lauren Southern and Milo, and why they're like, the word is deplatforming, but anytime you get words like that, it tends to lose its meaning because people overuse it. It means unable to express themselves and make money on Patreon. I don't think, I'm a real devout free speech guy. I mean, real devout free speech, but unless you're infringing on the rights of other people, generally physical rights, maybe monetary rights, but not even assumed rights. I mean, real rights. Then, yeah, you should be able to say whatever you want. And I've backed it up. Those people in Charleston, when they're shouting anti-Jewish shit, yeah, I absolutely defend their right to say that. Yeah. What about all of it, guys? All of it. You should be allowed to say it. And I don't understand why, if someone says something shitty on YouTube, you should be not allowed to take the bus. It's a different platform. If you violate YouTube's rules... who cares? Anyway, I think the bottom line is where I understand their point a little better. I still severely disagree with some of their, with what they're doing. I understand better why, but I disagree. So if I do end up going on Patreon, I think it's going to be like, I'll also upload everything I upload, like special bonus features, you know, I'll put it on Patreon. I'll also put it on every other platforms equally. It'll create more work. But, I mean, I fully understand if you don't want to be on Patreon. I would use it to make money, and I'm struggling with the idea of joining. I can't imagine if you guys are spending money, which you might want to go through if you're a free speech person. Maybe you're not as much as I am because I make my money using free speech. But be that as it may, if you want to support this podcast – generally, what I have you guys do is support the guests. You know, you like me getting them on here. You got to give it up for them. And you guys are pretty good at it. You're pretty good at tweeting at them. Comics, you guys, just so you know, we talk a game. We talk a big game, but we're pussies. Weak, needy, just vulnerable to insults, just vulnerable. It ruins our days. We just feel everything. That's why rape jokes, what a lot of people don't understand, is the reason comics do rape jokes is not because we don't care about rape. It's because we care quite deeply about it. About committing it. No, I mean, we understand how fucking powerful it is. That's why we're using that, because we are sensitive to how bad it is. Same thing with Holocaust jokes. I get it. We're not taking it lightly. We're taking it severely. You got to use major. Anyway, I'm not going to get into it. Anyway, so if you want to support these people, you tweet at them, and you guys have always been good at that, saying, hey, good job, or keeping your mouth shut, not tagging the people if you hate the job they did. But here, Greg Stone has a new album out. CD? Nope, CDs are dead. I literally got screeners from SAG, from the Screen Actors Guild, and I have no way to play them. Just CDs. I'm like, I can't do anything with this. I try to give them to homeless people, but they take that as an insult. Anyway, he's got a new CD out, new album out called The Amazing Greg Stone. He's a funny comic. He did my storytelling show when I did it at the Comedy Cellar, which is pretty fucking cool, and he killed. And if you want to support him, $10 on iTunes is the way to support this podcast today. Is to take $10 out, and it's not like you're just giving it to him. You're getting a CD. You're getting an album that you're more than happy to share with other people. If you absolutely don't buy stuff online like that, then Spotify is your answer. But you got to go to one of those right now if you really want to support it. That's the way to do it. And you're going to get laughs out of it. So it's a fucking win-win. Yeah. So anyway, Greg used to work at the ER. Again, I don't know where. I'm not the greatest interviewer. But we talked about what it's like to work there and all the fucking crazy details that do happen when you get into it. I am going to be, in terms of like fun stuff, this was a fun podcast, but I had a segue that I did one of these earlier takes and I fucking blew it for this. The 9-year anniversary of the storytelling show is on Monday at the Comedy Store. Guys, it's sold out. But if you want to go, there'll probably be like 25, I'm guessing, 25, 30. I usually get like 10% no shows to my shows. Stoners, fucking drug addicts who buy tickets don't show up. So when I'm done with my story up front, which you can probably listen to from the doorway, if you're quiet about it, of the main room of the Comedy Store on Monday. After that, we'll get in everybody off the wait list, whoever we have, you know, tickets available. So it's a great show, and we're really blowing it out. 9 years I've been doing this fucking storytelling show. 9 years. I've heard so many good stories. I've gotten to fucking witness crazy moments. People really just letting out. Just letting stuff out that's like unrecordable because it's too dark. And it's been fun. We've recorded stuff over the years too, but the live show's where it's at. And we got a fucking some of your favorites. Ali, Miss Pat, Bert, Renazisi, Diaz. It's going to be a fun night. So show up if you want. La Jolla, all I got left for tickets is Sunday Late Show, and that'll be gone too. So if you don't get that... Yeah. Oh, and I'm in LA. I'll be at the Comedy Store doing my own hour on the 19th, on Tuesday. Ari Shaffir, Jew. Probably the last time I'm doing it in Los Angeles. Maybe Brea, like down the road, but I don't know if that'll fit into my schedule. But definitely LA. Well, not definitely, probably. And then I got Miami and West Palm in March, and Tempe and Phoenix also in March. Vegas, the week of the March Madness with Viter and Vecchione and List and Norman. There's short sets there at the Comedy Cellar. And then later I got Ohio. Hilarities in Cleveland and Columbus at the Funny Bone. And I don't know where. Oh, Toronto. Second show added in Toronto. April 6th. The Danforth Music Hall. I will not be playing music. Man, I don't know how to do this. I want to mention something. How do I get into this? How do I get into it? Shattered my wrist, by the way. This is called buying time. So I broke my wrist last run of the last day in Park City, the storytelling show we did out there, which I undercharged for tickets. People are like, oh, it's so disappointing. The last run of the last day, that sucks. I'm like, no, it's better than fucking one of the first runs. So out of control, racing O'Neill, trying to race Ryan O'Neill, and he's better than me. And he stopped racing. I didn't know. He stopped racing because he saw how out of control I was. Blew up this snowboarder. Just blew him out of the water. That was using an odometer. 53 miles an hour is what I was going. And I fucking crushed this guy. It was just having a great time. I would have loved to have seen what's in his head. Just like, what beauty. What serene beauty I'm surrounding myself with. And not even knowing the fucking destruction that's on his way. By the way, I love how everybody got mad at me for fucking putting in an hour and a half of silence the last podcast. I said in the hot tub that if we don't come back from getting steaks, I'm just going to put in an hour and a half of silence to make it go 3 hours. I said that. And then when I did it, all these people are like, what the fuck is that? Are you not listening? I said I was going to do that. I even did better than that for you because I let you go into my process of how I find stupid fucking music for these things. Anyway, blew this guy up, broke my wrist. I just kept skiing for a few times. I just couldn't plant on that left, on my left hand with the poles, you know? So went to urgent care. They're like, the next day, it was like, yeah, it's broken. It didn't feel that bad. But then later I was trying to turn the key in the lock and I couldn't turn it with my left hand. I just switched hands. I was like, ugh. So I went to urgent care and they're like, yeah, you got a compression break, which is something like that. It's not the right word, but it's usually generally only in kids. But I eat tons of candy and drink no milk, so that's probably why it happened to me. Did I already say that on this podcast? Dude, when you do these over and over again, you lose track of what you fucking said. There's like a few moments where you're like, that was good. I'll repeat that. I mean, if I actually had a producer here, I could do wonders. I might get an intern for the summer from Harvard. I might finally – I've been offered that a bunch before, but I was finally like, yeah, maybe I will. So she said, follow up when you get home. So I did. She said 2 weeks. And I was like, a week and a half because I'm going to LA. That's where I am now. And so I followed up. And the doctor was like, yep, you got a break. And like, ooh, I think you got another little break here. And she goes, actually, you know what? It's NYU Langone Medical Center. And she said, guess what? I can call this specialist who's here, this hand specialist. He's fucking head of the department at Jamaica Hospital, something like that. He's going to look at you. He looked and he goes, oh no. This. So I had a soft cast on, which you can put on and off for like showering, going to the Russian bath. Should have done it that morning. So this guy's like, oh no, no, dude, that little chip, that bone. So here's the deal. That bone has tendons in it. I'm not describing this right. Oh, this all goes full circle to the ER. I still got to get back to what I'm going to get to. And without being connected, it's going to die. And then you're just going to have the shrapnel just floating around in your hand. And you're for sure going to get arthritis. So I was like, oh, okay. So what does that mean? What do you got to do? He goes, yeah, we got to operate. I'm like, what? Yeah, dude, we got to operate in your hand. I'm like, oh, so not 4 to 6 weeks? I went in there hoping, just like my toe, they were going to be like, yeah, follow up. It's progressing well. You're not, you know, doing too much with it. So you got 3 weeks left. Instead, I got to wait for a week after Martin Luther King Day. Happy Black History Month. And then get an operation. And then it's 3 fucking months in a cast, followed by physical therapy. Because I'll be fucking I went from 3 more weeks to in June, I'm going to start fucking squeezing a goddamn tennis ball. And my friends are like, see, you shouldn't go skiing. Nah, fuck off. I shouldn't have been racing. But I still don't care. It didn't hurt that bad. It's my left. It's worth it. Fuck off. It's worth it. Skiing is so fun. It's worth it. I'm going to go skiing again. I'm going to go out of control again. And it's going to be fun again. And I'm going to break something else. By the way, it's not just the skiing that's making me weak. I fucking broke my toe chasing my girlfriend's dog the morning of skiing in Tahoe. I couldn't even go skiing then. So it ain't just the skiing. It's the weak bonedness. All right. I have these morals I set for myself, which I think if you're anybody, that's what you got to live by. Your own moral code. I just saw this thing of some guy, and I think he's misguided. But after Kaepernick got that Nike deal, this guy said, well, I have a moral code for myself, and I am the student in Colorado. He runs a sporting goods store, and he goes, I'm no longer going to carry Nike products out of protest for this guy. The Kaepernick thing, by the way, it got so caught up in these anti-troops. Colin Kaepernick, you can say what he wants as a player. I think he like lost it as a player. He had a decent like quarterback rating his last year, but he couldn't really throw very far. What was I going to say? Oh, he was sitting during the fucking national anthem, which is just a protest against cops. That's all it was. He said, I don't feel represented as a black man of this country. And then some Marines told him, hey, just so you know, if you want to do a protest, you don't sit. What we do is we kneel to honor our fallen brothers and sisters. And so he goes, all right, well, I don't mean any disrespect for the troops. So, okay, Marines, I'll do what you do. I'll do what you advise me to do, and I will kneel. That's just out there. You can find it if you Google it. That's how he started kneeling instead of sitting. And then everyone's like, you're disrespecting the troops. And he's like, what? So he's like, just like Kevin Hart, he's like, I'm done talking to you guys. You don't want to hear what you don't want to hear. And then suddenly they go, first responders he's dishonoring. And by the way, the troops didn't win Colin Kaepernick his right to fucking freedom of speech. Long ago, troops did that. Nobody in Yemen is fucking winning us a right to free speech. You can say you're doing whatever you want, but Iraq, Afghanistan, you're not protecting our right to free speech. You're protecting our right not to get attacked, if anything. And you're probably making us get attacked more. Not your fault, but that's what you're being used as. Anyway, I'm not political. So this dude in 15 minutes. Okay. So he said, I'm not going to carry Nike products anymore because he thought, you know, I think he's misled, but he thought this is disrespectful to the troops. And I don't want to stand by that. He has a moral code and he lived by that moral code. That dude, as of 2 days ago, is going out of business. Oh, man. Dude, if you want to stand for what you believe in, I mean, I'll just tell you this right now. Integrity is the least financially responsible thing you can have. It's just going to be terrible for your bottom line. You want it to turn around like in a storybook of like Goonies, you know, and where they find the fucking diamonds at the end or jewels. But that's not reality. The reality is integrity means you're going to lose money. You just are. It doesn't come around like, that guy has integrity. Let's help him out. That's just not a real thing. And so this guy was like, I don't want to carry Nike anymore if that's what they stand for. And he went out of business over it. You can't not carry Nike in a sporting goods store. That's a major thing. I believe, if I remember right, the dude, who's the black dude? Happy Black History Month. From the Jackie Chan movies where they were both cops, black cop, yellow cop. Any Which Way But Loose? Not even close. You know the one. Anyway, Chris Tucker, Happy Black History Month. He went Christian, and then I heard this, I don't know at all if it's true, but he went Christian, decided at this comedy club he owned in Atlanta, honestly, it might not even be Chris Tucker, and it might not have, this is a story I heard, he went no alcohol in his comedy club, because he thought, you know, it's against his Christianity, and comedy club went out of business. That's what you get with integrity. You go out of business. And this guy had that. He lived by his moral code in Colorado somewhere. He lived by his moral code and he stopped carrying Nike and it cost him his business. And he said he doesn't regret it. He said, yeah, I know what would happen. I tried to make it work anyway and it didn't. He didn't go, well, I guess it couldn't work. I got to carry Nike. He goes, no, it didn't work. I'm done carrying Nike. I'll just go out of business. You know, if you're against slave labor and you find out the iPhones have use slave labor, and you go, well, let me see if there's anything else I can use. You try using a flip phone for a while. I think those might use slave labor too, but let's just say, and you go, oh, I just couldn't do business with that. I got to go back to it. It's like, no, you don't. You can just not. It's like Metzger always says, and he's right, he didn't always say it, but like the commandment in the Bible is thou shalt not kill. There's no special dispensation for when you're in the army. And so if you get drafted to go to the army, you're still not allowed to kill. Only in self-defense. So if you're going to get drafted to go to a place where you're going to have to kill somebody, in Afghanistan, somebody who's not coming to kill you, you're putting yourself in a position where they now are, you're just not supposed to go. And then if the response is, yeah, well, then I'll get arrested. I'll get court-martialed and arrested. It's like, right, yes. If you believe you're not supposed to kill, you don't just get to kill because you might get arrested. You take the arrest. You live the rest of your life in prison. If you really believe thou shalt not kill. I personally don't. I believe abortion is murder, and I am okay with the murder in cases of convenience because I don't respect human life as much as many people do. Anyway, you have to have your own moral code, and you try to live by it as best you can. And I have one that I've set for myself, and I fucked up. I fucked up sometimes. There's two types of sin in my book, actual sin. There's on-purpose sins and there's by-accident sins. Gossip is a by-accident sin. Just comes out. Just happens. Embezzlement, that's not actually a sin, I don't think. Stealing, that's more of an intentional sin. It doesn't just happen. You have to make an effort to steal. You have to know what you're doing. Those sins are way worse. I don't know if God cares, actually, which one you do. I think they're the same in his book. But to me, it's a major difference. One slips out, the other's intentional. I don't think, for me, that if you know somebody and you got a problem with them, that you should go public with your complaints about them. I think if you have access to them, like if you had access to Donald Trump, you should go tell him, like, hey man, I think you should change this. And then if he doesn't listen and you want more support, I guess afterwards maybe go public. But I think too many people are kind of cowardly about it. And they instead, they just like, I get why too. It's easier to say something online than it is to actually say something to a human. And I also think that comedians are all sort of in the same boat together. We're all, it's our team versus their team. It's comics versus non-comics. And we might have differences of opinion. For sure we do. We're very opinionated. But it's all of us together. Unless a comic is doing something to victimize another comic, like stealing jokes, then like it's not their fault they suck. It's never a comic's fault they suck. They're trying their best. Some are better than others, you know? So it's like if you insult a comic for sucking publicly, different than trash talk at the back table, but like publicly, I just don't think you should do it because what are they doing? Trying their best. And then I'm met with the other side of me that's like really passionate about comedy and I talk about it all the time. And when I go on podcasts or when I go on interviews, like I love talking about the shit that I'm passionate about. I went off on ESPN in this interview like a couple years ago. Just went off on how like Tebow says it, but we call them TMZ ESPN. They fucked over what they were. They're no longer even close to like a real sports station. They're all fucking drama. This guy said this about this. Fuck off. Show me the highlights. Anyway, so I'm stuck in this place between wanting to talk shit about the things I care about. That's what you do on podcasts. You just kind of go off. Versus also supporting comics who are just trying their best. If it's behavior, I got no problem with going off on them. You know? I used to have a friend who was, not friends with him anymore, but he was, he promised a lot of money to sick children. He thought I was going serious with it. And then he stole that money. He didn't give it to them. He used, their valor, stolen valor, and, didn't give them any money. So, you can make fun of what he's doing. Like that in life, that's to me, this is my moral code. You can agree with it or not, just like you can agree or not agree with that guy in Colorado. But you got to stick to the moral code you make. And I think it's fine to talk about someone's personal life. If it's your friend, you should not do that. You should support your friends. You know, that's who you're with, team friends. But if it's not your friend, it's some comic. Yeah, personally, it's like, don't attack them, but I mean, personally, do attack them if you want, if they're doing something shitty. But especially the celebrities, that's just like news stuff. But their stand-up, I don't know. It's just like they're doing the best they can. If they're not stealing, they're doing the best they can. You shouldn't say anything. And I went against my own moral code. I know better. And I fucking did it anyway. I talk shit about comics, about their comedy. It was shitty. It was one of the worst things I've done. It might not seem a lot to you, but I'm trying to explain to you. The worst thing you can do morally is go against the morals you set up. You know, I really do believe abortion's okay for convenience. So then it's not going against anything to fucking have one or convince a woman to fucking, that I'd be a terrible father. Or to feed her, you know, shots of alcohol and cigarettes so she has to. Literally, it's the day after she was like, okay, I can get the abortion. It's like, let's do 6 shots and let's start smoking those cigarettes so you can't back up on this decision. I mean, my life would be altered so much if not for those 2 chicks that had abortions. Anyway, so I fucked up when I did that. And I just feel awful about it. I don't want to get into what it was because I don't want to give it more, like back up. Like it'd be like doing it again, you know? But I was wrong. It was a shitty, wrong thing to do. I know better. I know better. You shouldn't do it. God, it feels shitty. When you know better and you go and do something like that anyway, it's like, and then the result is you just got to sit in it. You got to sit in your wrongness. You can't be like, well, you know, it's fucked up, but you know, I'll just be better. Like, no, you got to take the consequences, which is knowing you're wrong, knowing you're a hypocrite. Oh God, I hate that word. So yeah, I'm a hypocrite. And I'll try to go at a better percentage of fulfilling my own moral code, but I hate it. I'm a fucking hypocrite. Ugh. It feels so shitty. There's nothing you can do. It's like when a chick dumps you or she catches you cheating or something. And you just feel like you want it to change, but you can't change. You can't go back in time. Ugh. So that's what I am. I'm a fucking hypocrite. And then part of me, too, also feels like I would see the Voltaire writing articles to fucking, who was he? Was it Camus? I forget who. Or Fitzgerald and Hemingway. They would like talk shit about each other in newspapers. One would write a column, the other would write a column back, shitting on them. Fitzgerald's like, you don't know big words. And Hemingway's like, I know big words. I just don't like to use them all the time, you fucking heady motherfucker. I got to go soon, right? Going to see Santino's podcast. 318. Yeah, I got to go real soon. So part of me likes the idea of being able to critique comedy in a public way. I heard Artie Lang break down one of Tig's specials. And I'm going to do the same fucking thing by repeating it. What am I doing? But it was interesting. He was just breaking down this special, and I'm like, it was just interesting to hear about. She wasn't involved in it, you know. He was shit talking, but I found it fascinating and interesting. So part of me also wants that, but I think my moral code is pretty set. Like, as interesting as that would be, you don't shit on a comic for trying their best. You can shit on everybody else for trying their best, for being bad at it, but maybe I'm wrong. I think that's part of it too. I'm fucking stuck in between thinking it's interesting to critique comedy from a comedian's point of view versus no, I'm right. You shouldn't. This is not what I want to be doing. Anyway, I fuck up. I'm not a perfect guy. And I you gotta live with fucking being wrong. There's no like, apologize, let me get past it. Just, you're wrong and it sucks. It sucks. Fucking hypocrite. And then after you find you're wrong, you do your best to correct it. You know? You do your best to be like, well, I don't want to still stand for this. So you do whatever you can to like limit the exposure. Fucking fuck. All right, I got to get back to this podcast. Right? I guess enough of this. Anyway, this is just me telling you. It's not an apology. It's just me telling you, like, I ain't perfect and I hate it. I wish I was. I wish I were. Come on, all right, now's not the time. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's start the episode. Shall we? We shall. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 348. This is an emergency with Greg Stone. Oh, I should do a sponsor. Nah, I shouldn't really at all. I'm not going to do it. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Oh, and here we go. Let's start it. Did I say who Greg Stone was? I did. Okay, let's start.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor.
I'll never work. Yeah. The cool thing about writing jobs is, or the negative, is that they don't know if you're the weak link on a staff. They just know your role for Friends.
Mm-hmm.
And then if they actually asked everybody, it's like, oh no, Greg was the worst one on here. We actually could have been a way better show if he wasn't here. He held us back every day. We had to work. But they don't know. They just go like, oh, he wrote for Friends.
Yeah. Also, in the writer's room, sometimes they don't know if you're just a positive guy and you're putting everybody else over. They don't remember what jokes you wrote. They go, I know, he was great in the room. I love that guy. They don't give a fuck. You know? So just be happy and like make people around you like being around you.
I remember Natasha Leggero used to have this laugh and everybody feel like you were at home.
Yeah.
This loud, boisterous laugh at every one of your jokes. And just like, yeah. It just makes you feel good about yourself. And like, that's a better person to have than a staff or a room than gruff me or, you know?
Michelle was telling me about someone who interviewed and was like, I'm the one who I'll let you know that, like, that's triggering or that's bad. And it's like, yeah, nobody wants that person.
Nobody wants you, man. I don't know if that's appropriate. It's like, appropriate for the writer's room?
Yes. This is where we're dangerous.
Yeah.
This is a totally shitty thing to... But, like, there was, like, a while where people were doing mics, and I think someone said the N-word, and I don't know how, but in the joke or something, and someone punched the guy. And I went, listen, however you feel about anything, this is a place where people can't... Like, yeah, maybe it was a terrible, maybe it's whatever, but it's like, we can't have that. Yeah. Open mics need to be, we all need, there's a contract of, we're all going for it. We're all psychos.
I was talking on a Bennington panel, and I was like, yeah, that's what I said. I'm like, these open mics are now like policing themselves on not stealing, but on style or content. And
yeah.
She's like, well, it doesn't happen. I'm like, for sure it does happen.
Yeah.
And they're like, that's not allowed. And it's like, I need to be able to do this and fail enough times to be like, I guess I can't use an N-word. The crowd won't laugh. And let me decide. Or keep working at making it better to where it does work. I don't need you shutting me down when I'm still an open micer.
Yeah.
Can you imagine like translating that to like being a writer and in fifth grade writing a shitty paper and be like, shut the fuck up. You're way off. How dare you? And be like, okay, I'll stop writing.
I'm done writing.
Yeah. Or just I'll just do the typical stuff instead of like outside the box.
We're only going to create one type of comedian.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, well, how's anyone going to make it if New York is creating one fucking comedian? That's just gross. You're gonna have like a North, you know, the North Carolina guys are gonna get huge because they're just not dealing with you fucking people.
Chase still has my favorite take on that transgender bathroom thing.
Well, what was it?
He's always like poking the bear.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I think he feels immune, and he sort of is.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because he's black, or maybe because I don't know. Maybe because he sticks to his opinion.
I think that's the move. Yeah,
but he was like pretty much on the lines of. I love it. Because I live in New York City. I grew up in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
There are more transgender people here than almost anywhere in the world. I'm stepping back. I mean, maybe Thailand, and, you know, but like pretty much.
Sure.
New York has.
We get what you're saying.
Yeah. And he goes, I have literally never, not once, seen any trans person go into any bathroom. So this is a non-issue that you're talking about. To boycott a state over a thing that just barely ever happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, by the way, most of the times they go into whatever bathroom they want, no one says anything. It's just a few times. So it's like, you're talking about six times a year on something.
Yeah.
In a state that you're like,
eh.
Most of them are single bathrooms. That's half of them too. So that takes away that.
Yeah, absolutely. I do a bit about how I saw a transgender woman in a bathroom once. And like, it was in like whatever. It was a whole thing. I got very whatever. And then, no, I walked out. I took a shit in the ladies' room. Like, it was just a woman in the ladies' room that I was like, oh, she identifies as a man. This is her big thing. Blah, blah, blah. I thought I was having this great moment. And then I walked out and was like, no, I was just in the wrong bathroom. Yeah. And it was just two people like, yeah, who gives a shit? Someone's in the wrong bathroom. It was, she didn't call the police. It was a complete misunderstanding, but no one gave a shit.
No one really.
No one gave a shit.
Or it'll be a little like, oh, get out of here.
Yeah.
But well, not when a woman goes to a man's, on the other way. Because men, like, stink it up or piss on the seats and stuff, you know?
Yeah, women are doing that shit, too. They hover and they piss all over the seats.
That's the weirdest thing. If women just agreed to not hover, then none of them would have to hover.
Yeah, that's their shit they got to figure out.
Because someone else hovered and sprayed.
Yeah. I used to think it was men who were pissing all over the seats. And then I was like, oh, no, this is you.
Yeah.
We have got great aim. Yeah. I got a pistol. You got a fucking, you got spread.
We have a little bit of like a drop goes off rogue here or there.
Sure.
You know, but mostly you can get it where you don't have to lift the seat and you won't touch anything on the seat.
Yeah.
Right down there. Especially if it's, you know, where the front is not connected.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're totally golden.
That's the best. Yeah,
the only problem is like when it starts to slow down, then it hits the front.
You do the lean over. You do the lean over. You find it. Put your hand on the wall. It's great.
Dude, we pee in fucking cups. You don't think we could pee in a fucking giant bowl? Yeah.
Dude, I pissed in a Gatorade bottle while I was driving.
While I'm driving.
I'll get it. Exactly. I'll be fine, man. Yeah. Yeah, come on.
I did it on the way from northern Scotland to try to get back to Edinburgh for a flight and like being too late hiking around and like going 80 and pissing
in
a bottle. Like, it was like scooch up a little so you can go down on it. People don't notice, so you gotta go down on it.
You gotta.
Yeah.
I used to have these, because when I used to work in the hospital, we'd have these, like, you know, the urinals or whatever. I would steal all of them from the hospital and I'd just leave them in my car. And then you just put your these little, like, they're like cup urinal things. Like, you just kind of put your dick in it. It's like a big jar type thing. I'm sure you've had one where you've had to pee and you can't get out of bed. And they have those little thing, and it's got a little handle on it.
Oh, that's great.
Oh, it's the best. Everyone should buy them. So you even
just
the car.
In bed, knock it up. Oh, yeah. In the car.
Yeah, you just put your schlong in there, and then you
what is it?
Just start peeing.
Seal around your dick so there's no so it can't come out.
No. Think of just like a essentially just like a big jar, with a screw top that you just kind of put your dick in it. So it's you know, it's not spraying around.
But you're still gonna be above it.
No, you'd kind of just, I don't know how to explain it. It's like a scoop. You just kind of like, it's like a, like this, but it's got a wide and a handle. So then you just kind of go like that.
Yeah, but the problem is when you're sitting down. So let's say it's like this and this is wide.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going down on this. I have to go like.
Oh, it's got to turn like this. So it's kind of like an L shape.
Okay.
It's like slightly L shaped. So you're kind of going down. It goes around. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's why you got to scooch up so you can like face your dick down. Otherwise, you're pissing up and the gravity is just taking the piss right back down.
Yeah, it's going right out your butthole.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
Why are we talking about pissing in jars?
We're talking about girls and transgender stuff.
Oh.
I also trying to do a joke, but I haven't thought of it yet. But also, this like the squatting takes it away. But like, if women. Or people, liberals anyway, want like non-gendered bathrooms, like all gendered bathrooms. Like, all right, that's fine, but you're just going to have to deal with pissy seats. Drunk men are going to piss all over those seats. So that's great.
Yeah.
But understand, you can't sit anymore, women, because of what we're going to do.
I used to have this friend
on the floor. What?
Oh, no. This is just a little, I don't know why this came into my head. One of my best friends growing up, his mom was like a junkie and his dad was an alcoholic. And he just had leaders of like piss because his dad would just be too drunk and we'd fight him and his mom would whatever, so he would just have these like a liter of coke that he would just piss in, and every morning he'd either pour it out the window or fucking bring it down to the toilet.
Really?
Yeah, because his he had like a really fucked up family.
Whoa.
This is this kid, so this is this fucking thing where this kid he had all the best toys. And we were young. I'd be really excited. I was like, dude, when are you going to let me fucking sleep over? He's like, yeah, you don't want, you know, blah, 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 blah. He lets me sleep over his house. We go into his room and it's like the room, the whole house is torn apart. He has a padlock on his closet. So I found out that the reason he had the best toys is because his mom was a heroin addict. She'd go to Toys R Us, steal toys, return them for a gift card, sell the gift card for money. So when she would take them home, he would take all the best shit. Super Nintendo, everything. And you realize it's like, so I sleep over his house. We're playing. He's got like Exo Squad figures, G.I. Joe, Super Nintendo, having a great time. We get fucking fucked up on candy and food, fall asleep, middle of the night. His mom comes in, takes my pants, takes my wallet out of my pants, steals my bike.
What?
I watched her do this. I know he was kind of awake. We wake up in the morning and he was like, ah, man, like we got robbed. And I was like, ah, man, you know, that sucks, you know? And then you know, like he just, this is a thing. He knew, he was ashamed to be like, whatever. I'm not going to stop
his
mother.
That's why he never invited you over.
That's why he never invited me over, because it was all this shit.
You think you want to be here, but you don't want to be here.
You don't want to be here. You think I have this great life of action figures. And I, my mother, we fought his dad. His dad came in with a sword he found in the garbage, swung it at my head. We jumped on him, physically fought his dad at 13 years old.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was fucking wild. I come home, I tell my mom, and my mom was just like, my mom was great. She just knew something was up.
Yeah.
And she was like, tell him if he ever needs to stay here, he can come whenever he wants.
Of a kid.
Yep. And then, like, I'd come home after school. He was sick. We didn't know where he was. I walk in my house. He's drinking coffee, smoking cigarettes with my mom in high school.
Jesus.
And it was just like, all right, cool. Like, he was just a super solid guy. He's doing great now. Everything's great. But, like, his mom died of AIDS. His dad was I don't know where I went from transgender into this depressing shit.
When you die of AIDS, not because of like blood transfusions or homosexuality, when you die of AIDS because of like bad life choices, it's like, oh, that's like,
yeah,
that's a poor, that's another level of poor. Yeah. That AIDS poor.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it was probably from sharing needles. That's probably where that had happened.
Yeah.
And the dad wouldn't get sober because she was whatever. He got sober when she died. I see him. I'm like, hey, what's going on, man? And he had no idea. I was friends with his son for 13 years. He had no idea who I was because he was drunk the whole time, our whole childhood.
Whoa.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he is like, you know, the kid was, he's one of my favorite people on earth.
Did you see a lot of drug addicts at the ER?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's where I kind of found that out.
Oh, of like, what that was?
No, found out like they're not necessarily bad people. Like,
oh.
Sorry to get into this, but it's a weird thing. Like with drug addicts, the doctors would hate them. They're like, these drug seekers, you fucking hate them. And then my mom said to me, she goes, everybody who's in this ER is here because they've run out of options. They just can't take it anymore. Whatever it is that they have, they can't take
it. Or cut off a finger.
Anxiety, drug addiction.
Yeah.
They just can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
And so when you go to that, it's like, yeah, man, you're an addict. But you're not, you don't, like, it's not because it's fun, you know?
Right.
So you'd sit with, I just treated them all the same.
I understand that only, I mean, at best, not only, but at best, when I'm on mushrooms,
mm-hmm.
I remember being in La Jolla, the Comedy Store, the first shroom fest we ever did.
Yeah.
And beach in the back of the condo. And then we're like, all right, let's get somebody, we're kind of coming down, but still feeling it. You do mushrooms?
I'm going to. I've never done it yet. I'm very excited. I just keep forgetting to.
Do you have them?
No, I don't even know.
Oh, you got
to
get them first.
I don't even know what to do, but I'm going to do it. I'm very excited. I'm waiting to like lose my virginity to it, but I keep waiting for the right girl, and I think I just got to do it.
Well, let me just give you advice beforehand.
Sure.
You got to look for it now, and then you just have them when it's the right time.
Oh, that's...
You can't find them in a pinch. It's not like cocaine or weed.
Oh, yeah. I've never done cocaine either.
Yeah, but I mean, like those are like drug dealers.
Sure.
Like,
they got
mushrooms,
yeah.
They're like, it's a once-a-year sale, so they're really, most of them don't carry them.
Sure.
So you just got to keep your eye out. My advice is you ask your dirtiest friend, who used to be Noah Gardner-Schwartz in this scene, but he's like doing better now that he's writing for Miss Maisel. So like, he's out of the biz.
Yeah.
And just like ask your dirty friends, like, do you have mushrooms? And generally they'll be like, no. And then you just got to follow up with like, do you know anyone?
I'm looking
to get them. Do you know anyone who has it? Can you make a call?
Yeah.
And then they'll usually be like, yeah, actually, let me make some calls. Or if they go, no, just move to your next dirtiest friend.
Just keep going down to the scummiest
guys. And
you
just keep them in your freezer. They'll last for years in a Ziploc.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you just have them.
Yeah.
The other option is randomly hope. Somebody's like, hey, we're doing mushrooms tonight. You want in? And you go, give me one. Just right in your mouth right then. Or a music festival, something like that.
That's what I think what I was kind of waiting for. I was waiting for that guy to be like, hey, man, we're all fucking going. We're all doing mushrooms. And I'm like, can I get in that train?
Yeah.
Take me with you, buddy.
We had one. We were all going to camping, Malibu Creek State Park or Joshua Tree. And we had this big group, 6-7 people, to do mushrooms and go out there. And we're like about to go. I was like, who's got mushrooms? And I was like, oh, nobody. And luckily, I had like 10 doses in my freezer. But like,
yeah,
you just fucked. It's just so hard to get it.
I don't know if you, I started smoking weed at like 31.
Really?
I didn't drink till I was 25 because of all that shit I grew up with.
Why are you fat?
Why am I fat? Yeah, I don't, because I stopped rollerblading, man.
Dude, I love being able to talk to a man with his double standard. You can make that joke with a woman, it becomes like way more political, that statement. You know?
But it's true. I mean, like, it's true. Can we just acknowledge that I'm fat? Like, I'm not like fat, but I could lose some pounds.
Yeah.
We had a thing, the Rogaine thing we were talking about before the podcast, but I was on doing a podcast, and Brendan, who I do the podcast with, looks over me and he goes, hey, man, what do you use for your thinning hair? And I went, I don't have thinning hair. I don't. And I go, Anthony, tell this fucking guy I don't have thinning hair. And he goes, you do. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? He goes, I'm only telling you what I see with my eyes. And it was brutal.
It's not a judgment call.
Yeah.
It's an eye.
Yeah. But also, good. Yeah. I need to get on Rogaine. I need to do that quick. Tell me that shit.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't realize I got fat till after I was fucking fat.
Yeah. In that sense, it's easier to be a man because there's no double standard because we don't make our life, you know, like worth based on our weight.
Yeah, women do.
So I can be like, yeah, you're fat.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, I don't want that. I guess I'll get rid of that by not being fat.
But that's also dumb. They do that because for every weight, there is a guy who likes you for that weight.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, well, you just don't want what you want, fucking Brad Pitt. It's like, well, you're not going to get Brad Pitt.
You're not going to get that.
Exactly. Just. You're fine. We're all fucking fine.
That's why most women don't like that chiseled, like, bap, bap, bap.
Yeah.
They like a little pudge. And it's mostly out of necessity because that's all they can get. Because most men are not in that kind of shape.
Yeah,
whereas
yeah.
most women, because of that double standard, are.
Yeah, men
can be super shallow because there's enough to choose from
in
that shallow pool.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, how many times have you dated someone who was like, look like that, and you just go, oh, I'm done with you before this date started?
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's like, I don't even want to be around you. Like
that person?
I hate fat people. No, definitely fat. And yeah, I hate fat. No, in shape, chiseled women.
Oh, I don't get like that.
Yeah.
Well, I started dating in LA, and that was all there was to choose from.
Wait, you don't get like what? You do want, no matter what?
Yeah, I like them. It's like they're hot.
Well, I love a hot woman, but I mean, but once they're annoying.
Oh, they're awful.
It's like, I don't want to bring you home.
Yeah. It took me 10 years of dating in LA to realize like, oh, these people suck. I actually had these theories about women. Me and Metzger were like fighting about it once. We used to always fight about New York versus L.A. comedy, and he would throw like the shittiest L.A. comics at me, and I'd be like, throw the shittiest New York comics back at him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, find him. What about her? What about him? And he's like, that's not one of our good ones. I'm like, that's not one of our good ones. You're talking about our worst, bottom 10%.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Anyway, we started talking about women, and then he stopped. And he was like, oh, dude, I don't – like, how many women have you had sex with? And I told like 25, whatever. And he goes, how many before you moved to LA? I was like, one. He goes, yeah, you're not talking about women. You're talking about LA women.
Sure.
Yeah, they're dumb and self-absorbed and like solipsistic and like
– yeah.
Yeah, that's not women. That's just where you made your sexuality. I'm like, oh. And that's one of the reasons I got like moved to New York.
Yeah. But they go there for that. They go there to – that's what shallow needs. That's what that's for.
Saddle Ranch has one soul split up through the whole goddamn place.
Wait, what's Saddle Ranch?
Just some bar.
Oh, okay.
Right. Sunset, but it's like soulless and awful.
Yeah. No, I like a fucking... I mean, how many times I've met a girl, I'm just like, at first I wasn't really attracted to them, and then like they're cool, and it's like, oh, I actually find you hotter now.
Now that you're cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the looks wear off, right?
Absolutely. Everything
from a
wears
10,
off.
10, 1 to 10 is the range.
Yeah.
After a month or two of knowing somebody, the range, everyone goes from 4 to 6.
Yeah.
The hot wears off and the ugly wears off.
Yeah. Also, their personality, even if they have a great personality, that shit wears off too. I'm with my lady for 10 years. It's just bare minimum on like how we can talk. Yeah. Like, you know, like all the fun, crazy things. And all everything dies.
Yeah.
Looks go first, but just make sure you're with someone who isn't physically like making you crazy.
That's why when you like rebound, you're like, oh, this person's so cool. They're into music and going out. And it's like, until you're used to going out, then you're just like, come on, why aren't we going out today?
Yeah.
You know?
No, you gotta be with someone who you can not talk around. You know, it's like we can both just shut the fuck up and be happy.
Yeah.
You know, that's the key. Everyone just leave me alone.
What I was gonna say about drug addiction is so I'm leaving this condo, we're going to get something to eat at Romero's maybe, some like shitty taco place there, and there's some bums there.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at them with this very clear, that's what you get on mushrooms, very clear, like, I'm not, you know, you don't defend yourself
because
there's no ego anymore. And I'm like, oh, they just got a different addiction than I did.
Yeah.
Like when my friend said, hey, smoke this joint, their friend said, you know, smoke this meth or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the same shit. They got unlucky that their friends were into that or that their drug they liked was like, ruin their life over like I can do my drug at work.
Yeah.
You know?
The one that killed me the most, and I'm sorry, am I cutting you off?
No.
Is these people who were hooked on OxyContin. Why were they? Were they at a party and had a good time? No. Guy was in a car accident. Not a bad one.
Uh-huh.
Not a bad one. Threw his back out. Doctor gave him this. Now he's on it for life.
Yeah.
on any high conservative way of thinking, you cannot say that man made a bad choice.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then you want to be like, fucking drug addict. Like, no, nah, but yeah, but like, it wasn't his fault.
No. Some asshole cut him off and he slammed the brakes, fucking hit, you know.
Doing nothing wrong, doing whatever we all would have done.
Nothing wrong.
Says you need to take this for pain. You're like, okay, I will. Also, nothing wrong.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, Brett Favre, remember when he went to rehab?
Oh, not really.
You're not a sports fan.
I like with friends.
Brett Favre just called a press conference mm-hmm. while he was playing and mm-hmm. said, I'm addicted to pain pills. I need to go to rehab to solve this. People are like, what?
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I take tons of pain. Like most NFL players, I take tons. And I, for whatever reason, I've become addicted.
Yeah.
When I run out, I get the shakes.
Yeah.
So I need to go seek professional help. People are like, whoa. On his own.
Mm-hmm.
But like, that's a real thing. That's, you know, that's a success guy, too.
Yeah.
So I got addicted.
That's your all-American fucking guy.
And luckily, he'd go to his work and say, get me the best rehab in the world. And pay for it because they want him to be back on. But you can't do that at your fucking post office job.
No.
You're just fired.
You can't do that if you're a dog walker.
You know, you can't.
Yeah. And all those homeless people who had zero options. They had fucking zero options. Or like, they had a family. They didn't give a fuck about them. Or they're filling some kind of thing. It's like, we're all one stop. Yeah. We're all one mistake away.
So that's who would come in.
Who?
To the ER. These drug addicts and shit.
Yeah. I mean, the only people that I would say, like, where I was like, I don't know if they had enough, is there were people who would come because they would get prescriptions and sell the drugs. And those guys were like, we knew. It's like, you're just here. And then some ER, they handle it one of two ways. Some ER doctors would just go, you're taking time away from me. I need to see other patients. Give him whatever he wants. Get him the fuck out. Mm-hmm. And then you'd have people who'd go, I will not give them anything. And then those people would go crazy and ruin the ER for everyone else.
Smash it up and scream.
No, you smash it up so much as just scream and cry and essentially just torture on all the nurses and nursing staff.
Until they're like, give me what I want.
Just give me what I want.
Do whatever I need to do. It's when I compare human behavior to like animal behavior a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
And so like when the gazelle gets taken by a lion, you know, like he runs. That's mm-hmm. his first defense. And then he does this kick thing where they go up in there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like that last ditch effort. But they just want to live.
They just want to live, yeah.
Or the other way is to find food. So they do whatever they can to find food,
mm-hmm.
you know, or to mate. Those three things, you know. And humans do the same shit. That guy needs drugs. So if he can go in and scam it, fine. If that doesn't work, then he's going to go to a fit.
Yeah.
Same way women cry sometimes when they're not getting their way.
Yeah.
And then when they see they're still not getting their way, they immediately stop crying.
Yeah.
Is that a fake cry?
Yeah.
It was just so the animal could feed.
Yeah. It's like, I mean, yeah. Dude, we had fucked. I mean, they had to change. This is before my time. But they had to change the alcohol in the, you know, like the Purell shit.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be alcohol. They had to stop because addicts would come in and they would drink
Purell.
They would drink, it wasn't Purell at the time, I'm sure, but it was the alcohol based hand sanitizer.
Ugh.
Dude, people are, and you don't do that for
that's
fun.
Crazy. No,
you don't do that because you're like, I like the guy, I like to have a good time. You do that because there's something fucking going on.
Yeah,
you know, dude, I mean, I would sit with these people for just hours who were like, you know, you stand in the ER, you see the left behind, you see the people that no one, dude, I had a guy come in one time. And I don't know, you know, if I cut you off, you know, get us back on track if I fell off. But we had a guy one time who came in. He had cerebral palsy. He was like crawled into a ball, couldn't really move. And I walk in and he's just like, I'm not retarded. And I was like, come on, man, you're retarded. No, but I was like, no, man, like, yeah, what are you talking about? You know, like, what are you talking about? His brain with this type of cerebral palsy, I guess, never was not affected.
No, brain don't get affected with cerebral palsy.
There is a type that is, I think, if you're born with it, because there's no oxygen that goes to the brain. So you can, it's like, I don't remember exactly how that worked, but there is some people that are, but he wasn't.
Yeah.
Because he talked like that, because he couldn't move, he was in a nursing home. People, he came in with duct tape on his diaper. That means a nurse duct taped his diaper to his body. And like, because he really couldn't talk, they didn't fucking take him serious. No one ever talked to him. No one ever listened to him. And I just sat with this guy for like 6 hours. And I was like, let's go. Whatever you want to talk about, let's do it. And like, to live in that prison where people look at you and they just go, oh, I'm not going to.
You're retarded.
He's retarded. His mind isn't there. And it's like, this guy's mind was there, but his mouth didn't work right. His body didn't work. They were just fucking sending him from nursing home to nursing home. Doctors didn't listen. It was like,
dude, I feel bad for those people, but it's almost like a funny horror. I saw somebody at a music festival, I think Firefly.
Yeah, yeah.
Not the awful one, but the one in Delaware.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it was one of those, like, you know, body retards, whatever it was.
Yeah,
you know?
I used to call him something similar. Yeah, he's a body retard. Yeah, I don't know, something like that.
But we saw him. We're like, oh, and he was by himself, you know, just kind of walking around and like listening to music and enjoying it. And I forget if he was with his mom or not, but I think he was by himself. And we're all like, oh, look, he's got no friends because of that. You know, it's like, it's so sad. And then whoever I was with, like, I wish somebody would be his friend. Because, like, they're caring, you know? But then it's like, we all kind of notice at the same time. We're like, well, why don't we be his friends?
Yeah.
Because we don't want to get stuck with a dork.
Yeah.
So we're not going to be.
Yeah.
And you can feel bad about it and say, someone should do something. But it's like, you can, and you're not.
You're right
so
there.
So we're not better than anybody. We don't want to be friends with a dork.
Yeah.
And you're a dork. You're a physical dork.
Dude, there's so many comedians who aren't even bothered. They're like, they're just fucking, I'm like, no, they're just socially awkward. It's like, I can't be around you.
You're out.
And I don't want to be a dick. It's like, you're a nice guy, but you're making this really difficult.
It's the same as high school.
Yeah.
You're like, you can't sit at my lunch table because then I'll fucking be like you. Everyone don't want to talk
I'll
to
be
me.
Like you.
And also, it's like, I just don't want to even talk to you. It's weird.
It's difficult to talk to you.
Yeah.
That's the thing. It's like, maybe if you just listen and laugh, that'll just be your personality and you can win, but you're not. You know, like, you're ruining my magic trick. I was doing a magic trick, and this guy was like, I don't know how you do that. And I was like, dude, this is why I want to fucking hang out with you. I got one magic trick.
There's nerd comics. They're just like, you're just not allowed here. You're doing nothing wrong. But you're just not allowed at our cool table.
Yeah. I mean, I really do try with some of them, but then it's like, at least understand that I can only do you in teaspoons. You know, like, look, let's do it.
You also feel like I'm doing you a charity by hanging out with you. I'm giving you my time, which is better than
your time. How fucked up is that?
Yeah.
It's so true, but I'm like, maybe some of me will rub off on you and you could figure out how to talk to people.
Yeah.
But it's weird, you know? I don't know, man. Yeah, Louis's got a great bit about it.
What?
A new bit. He's talking about how, like, I can't, I don't want to, I'm going to kind of rule it, but he's talking about retard, and he's like, how you don't want to say it, but the truth is, it's like, yeah, you don't even want to hang out with them, and it's like, you say, like, we can't say this, we can't do this, and it's like, well, why don't you hang out with them? You won't even hang out with them. We have to defend them. Well, hang out with them. Yeah. They don't care. We only say a retard behind their back. Like, we're not, like, you want to do something, I'm really
ruining the bit. They're there. They need help and friends.
Yeah, hang out. Hang out.
Yeah, and now if you're hanging out and you hear me say retard, then it's like, then you got a fucking leg to stand on.
Yeah.
You're not even, it's these people who are like against, like, you know, abuse in other countries and stuff. And
yeah.
They still have the iPhones.
Yes.
And you're like, but you've seen people are committing suicide over the forced labor.
Yes.
To work in iPhone companies. Like, yeah, but I can't give up an iPhone. I'm like, you've only had them for 10 years.
Yes.
You can go back.
100%. I have one and I'm an ass, but I know, at least I try to, like, maintain my hypocrisy with, like, I get it. I'm trying to work myself off it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I saw a guy who posted this picture.
Just don't act like you're better than me.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Because
you're intentionally going into a system that's like, fuck off.
That's where I come with this, with the, and this is probably the white privilege thing, which is like, yes, I'm sure, great. But also, we all, the fact that we're in this country, and, you know.
Yeah, we all have that privilege.
We all have
first world privilege.
Yeah. So it's like, we're all, like, some extent, you know. Stop acting like I'm a fucking asshole when you're an asshole. We're all assholes.
Yeah.
Just on different asshole levels.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. That women are like, we need to stop the pay gap. And whether or not there is a pay gap is a whole other thing. But but I'm like, but that's not the worst issue facing women. The worst issue facing women is, like, forced circumcisions.
Oh, yeah.
But it's just not around you here in America. So you just don't face it.
The thing with the goddamn shooters, with those kids and the shooters, I don't want to, you know, say who said it, but was like, you've never been, he goes, I looked at these people in the eyes of the school shootings, and I know this is why you don't make those jokes. And it's like, oh, so if you didn't see victims of school shootings, that's like, so what about everything else? You had to be there? I have to fucking be there to understand them?
Yeah.
No, don't take that. That's the big thing with the ER. It was like, you laugh or you cry, and I choose to fucking laugh, and that is how we get through this shit. Do not fucking take my way of healing away from me because you sat with them. Yeah, man, we all fucking sat with them. We all sat. We had someone with cancer or some of that
still
shit.
Laugh. You decide you can laugh.
Goddamn right.
Did the crying people get mad at the laughing people?
Who? What?
The people in the ER who coped by crying.
I was the only one who cried. Everyone laughed.
Oh, really?
So the big thing with me at that job was you have to become numb. And I refused to let go of that part of me. So every time I would walk into a patient and they would be, you know, like something would happen. I mean, I had a patient one time who came in. He was a kid and his dad walks in, goes in the room. They say, Greg, he tells me, he goes, can you just sit with my son? His son's 5 or 6. Sit with his son. Guy walks in the thing, immediately has a massive heart attack and dies. I think he literally knew something was going on and he was like, just take care of my kid. And I sat with that kid and I had to, like, talk to him about his dad dying.
And you're not trained in that.
No, I am not. But I was with the doctor, and that was my kind of thing. And I just cried all day, and I walk out, and the nurse was like, you can't put this emotional tax on you every day. And I was like, yeah, but I also can't let go of that. Like, that's what's going to make me a better comedian, and the things I actually want to do is to be in touch with that emotion. But then also, you have to laugh. You know, you have to walk out and go, Jesus Christ, man, that guy fucking died quick. You know, and like, yeah. I still am totally good with laughing at it.
It's like after Alan Stevens died, it was like, man.
Was he on the Patriots side? I don't know.
What?
Was that Patriots guy? I don't know. Sports guy?
No.
Sorry.
I'm joking.
I actually don't know who he is, but I'm sure it's a writer or something.
He's a comic of the Cellar.
Oh.
Not Alan Stevens.
I'm sorry. William Stevenson.
William Stevenson. Yeah.
Okay.
Alan Stevens.
Okay, good.
Who is Alan Stevens?
I don't feel like an asshole.
William
Stevenson.
William Stevenson. Different than Alan Stevens.
Yeah.
You're not in the wrong there. But after that, everyone's like, oh, man, that sucks. Like, it hits you. And then, like, the joke came into your head, and you're like, I think I can relieve some tension with this.
Yeah.
Jay had the best one. Well, one of the best ones where Sal wrote him and was like, did you hear about William Stevenson? And he had heard, but he goes, no, you with him? He owes me money. Ask him for the $40. That's... Man, I want that $40 back. You tell him, dude, it's not fucking cool. I want that $40 back because I really do need that $40. He's like, dude, fuck off.
That's fucking hilarious.
But you need that. But here's the deal. Here's why people don't understand about jokes. They only work because we are in touch with how horrible it is.
Yes.
So we're using this horrible thing as a way overboard example.
Yes.
If I say I ran really far, I'm not just going to say I ran 700 meters to get there. I'm going to say I ran 80 miles or 8,000 miles.
Yeah.
The exaggeration is what does it.
Yeah.
So you need to be in touch with like how horrible a rape is in order to use that as an out there example. If you didn't think rape is a big deal, then it'd be like, I don't know, getting pickpocketed. It's just not that big a reference.
Yeah.
Murdered is way bigger.
And to talk, I mean, like 9/11 for me was this, right? Because I grew up a half hour outside. My dad lived in the Bronx.
Trust me, dude. My people planned it. So I'm aware. I'm fully aware of how big it was. Yeah.
Dude, 9/11 happened. No one knew how to handle it. No one knew how to talk. And then for me, Gilbert Gottfried made that first fucking joke. And then we laughed. And then we started to talk about it. You need to joke so that then you can start to talk about it.
Yeah.
That's the first way to talk about something to me. And if it's not for you, okay.
Then you walk away.
It's okay.
Yeah.
But this is how
I won't. If I see you're upset, I'm not going to keep hitting on you in jokes, you know?
It's yeah.
Like, all right. They're not getting it.
Of course.
You got to read your audience. But you got to allow yourself to like get one tanker so you can read the audience.
Yes. Of course. Know? And it's like, yeah, I mean, like you're allowed to feel however you feel. Just don't take away how I need to kind of handle with this.
But Kathleen McGee, this comic from Vancouver, had a rape joke.
Mm-hmm.
And some lady after the show was like, you shouldn't do rape jokes. She was like, but I've been raped and that's how I want to cope with it. Like,
yeah.
Why are you going to tell me not to cope with my rape that way?
Yeah.
Like, what? Like that's not your right, man.
No. And you can ignore me for five minutes.
Just don't laugh at that part.
Not for that part. That's okay.
I always feel bad for audience members who are like, I thought the whole thing was very funny, but these 2 minutes were like really, I was like, well, then why are you focusing on that?
Yeah.
You're ignoring the 58 minutes?
Yes.
For the two you don't like?
Yeah.
How sad for you.
Yeah. It's like that you have that whole, it's like that people have bad days because someone called them fat. It's like, what about the rest of the 24 hours where it was sunny and nice and you were listening to the fucking Black Sabbath or whatever the fuck you were doing?
Also, just be like, I guess I'm fat. Anyway, but it's a nice day.
Exactly.
I'm going to lose this, but it's a nice day. So, do people, you ever see people shit themselves?
Shit themselves.
Yeah.
Like, first of all, of course, I shit myself, not even in the hospital. Oh, no, you know, I just constantly shit myself. One here, this is fucking a wild one. Worse than shit was this this woman came in who had some kind of like blockage. So this is fucking gross.
Yeah.
She essentially like shit out of her mouth or something.
Whoa.
It was like, it was so bad that this happened. It's like, it's rare, or maybe it wasn't fully that, but it smelled like shit. Anyway. I have the reaction where if you throw up in front of me, I throw up.
Nice.
So she throws up, I throw up, nurse sees me, nurse throws up, three people threw up. We all look at this patient, we just go like, yeah, we're not going to talk about this, right? We cleaned her up, we washed her, and we never spoke of the time where it was just like, just three people threw up on this poor woman's legs.
Ugh.
Yeah, shitting is, I mean, like, you know, people shit themselves all the time, but.
I threw up on a kid in Calgary a couple years ago.
You threw up on him?
Yeah.
Were you on stage?
No, it was at a rodeo.
A rodeo?
Yeah, I was drunk. Ugh, I don't want to talk about
it. Okay.
Well, so bad.
I get it. Yeah.
And just like, kind of like, not blackout, but you know when you're like, you can't really see even though your eyes are open?
Yeah.
And then things come in.
Yeah.
I just heard like, he got it on me. And I was like, well, oh, no. Just these kids in stands right in front of me with his, like, you know, those tassel shirts?
Yeah.
On the shoulders. just like one side of him just covered in fucking this degenerate's puke.
See, and that's what it would either make you the best famous person or the worst. Like, if you could be the Bill Murray of like, yo man, Ari just stopped and he just threw up on me. It's like, that was wild.
Yeah,
he just showed up at my house and fucking
blacked out. How they relate to you.
Yeah, yeah.
It really is. Ugh, I feel bad about that. What was your job there at the ER?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even... So I started as like a transporter where I just brought patients up and down. And then I got the higher paying job, which was...
What is that, a porter who has to decide on their sexuality?
No. Like, I was bringing...
Oh, I know. I'm joking.
Oh, I don't know what a
transporter...
Oh, I don't know what a trans... Oh, I'm a fucking idiot. I'm so sorry.
I mean, I guess it wasn't that
good. I can leave. I went right over my head.
I love when you don't get a joke at all as a comic, and you're just like, huh? And like, I'm joking. I'm like, oh, yeah, right.
Of course. That's what we do.
As someone who's trained in these, I should know better.
Yeah. Sometimes they slip by. Yeah, you just bring patients up and down, and then I did like medical billing, and I was so bad at it. Like, I was so bad at it. It's like medical. Like, you have to type all the words. I can't spell. I don't pay attention. Yeah. They were going to fire me, but then one of the doctors saw that, like, he was getting these reviews for this doctor who was extremely nice and had red glasses. They saw me with red glasses. They go, oh, this is what you do now. You just go into every room and make sure people know what's happening, talk to them, make sure they're comfortable, and you'll assist the doctors with whatever they need. So I kind of had this made-up position.
Being nice.
Of just being nice and being the greaser, you know, like make sure everything happy, you know, like I would assist with like small, you know, like would help them stitch patients up sometimes, which was a little bit out of my league. And then I'd also make sure that their blood work came back and nothing looked abnormal. I was kind of like I would grease the wheels, make sure things were happening, and also make sure patients knew what was happening to them and make sure those things happened.
How long did you work there for?
Like 5 years.
When to when?
Man, I have no idea. Like, maybe 04 to, like, 08.
Oh, you were already doing comedy.
Yeah, I was doing comedy. But, like, after... I had to work 40 hours a week, but the ER is 24 hours, and I got to pick what hours they were.
Yeah.
So, essentially, I would not show up to work till Thursday and then just work 40 hours straight.
Triple,
It's just like, all right, I got to get these fucking hours in or I'm stealing.
I always envy those guys. I thought of becoming a cop so I could work the 1 a.m. to fucking 9 a.m. shift.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, you know, do my spots and then go do work.
Yeah.
Make money. They showed like the billboards in L.A. They make like 40 grand a year or something. I was that's great money.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, by the way, you have an album out now, right?
Oh, yeah, it's coming out on the
15th. I'll release this the day it's out. So what is it? What's it called?
The Amazing Greg Stone.
The Amazing Greg Stone on iTunes and everywhere else?
Yeah, yeah, it's on all that shit.
Okay. It's your first album? No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I waited. And
it's smart to wait because, like, then you could, like, blow it out of the water, you know? Skanks of the Memories was Attell's first release.
Wow. Yeah, that's wild.
And it's one of the best albums of all time.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'm sure he could have done one 4 years earlier, but then it'd be like, you're robbing yourself of all these jokes.
Yeah, my problem, though, is I think that I don't want to, like, I'm sure it's great. I hate myself, so I don't want to, like, I'm sure it's great. But, like, I also, like, was done with all of that material. So it was like when I did it, I was like, maybe I should have done it a little earlier so that I could have still had, like, but I think it's probably great. Why am I doing this? It's a great album.
What's it called? The Amazing Greg Stone?
Yeah, like Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I do like a lot of hospital shit on there. So.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is like crazy because it's sometimes you tell stories and they become bits and then you forget what the story was because you've told it so many times.
You're just remembering the telling of it instead of remembering the details of it.
I'm remembering the bit. Yeah. You know, I'm like remembering the fucking bit and like the punchiness of it. But sometimes it's fun to go back and be like, wait, what really... Like, what's the non-funny version based on of all of this?
It's hard because you really got to think, like, this might be true, and you even, like, create memories in your head.
Yeah. Then I told you this pedophile story I told you before, right?
What is that one?
Where I met the... Oh, shit, I fucking just...
Is it the one you did on stage? No.
I used to do it. I didn't do it on any albums. I used to do it. It's about a guy I met who had end-stage lung cancer, who was 57 years old, never smoked. I'm talking to him. He had this shitty sense of humor, and then he tells me, he goes... I go, what's the thing you're the most proud of, you know? And he goes, he's like, like I never, I'm 57, I've never been with a kid sexually. And I thought he was joking. And I was like, you know? And he fucking tells me this fucking story about how his mother was, he told his mother when he was like 19, something was happening. It was fucking weird. Whoa. His mother is working with him. He'd come home and she's like, you're good. And was like, it's kind of like this counsel for him.
Mm-hmm.
Mother gets cancer. She dies.
Now he's on his own.
He's trying to ignore this. Tells his dad. His dad breaks his nose. Tells his family. Family is like, fuck this guy. He moves to Paterson, New Jersey.
But he's like, I didn't do anything. I just had the urges.
Nothing.
Yeah.
He did nothing wrong.
I'm like, fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm fighting it.
He changed all the passwords on his computer. He was afraid to leave the house. He was like,
you might see a kid.
Well, like he just was like, you know, he's ultra sexual. And he was just like, well, they're just things I don't do. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything that can take me down. When my mind goes to that place, I know I can't feed into it. There's no one I can talk to about this. I have no idea how to get around it. I just know that I have that, like, there is some major fucked up part of my brain.
Whoa.
And he had lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette. And the guy was like, I'm kind of happy to be done. He also had, like, some other, like, mental shit that was, like, also fucking with him. So he was afraid to leave the house. He's like, yeah, I mean, like, I'm fucked up. It's like, could you imagine?
I think I've told you this before, maybe I said it on the podcast before too, but it's like, I saw one of those To Catch a Predators where they were like, you know, Hanson comes out. He's like, so can we talk? And one of the guys was like, he knew what it was instantly.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, can you just send them in here so they can arrest me and execute me?
Yeah.
And it was like, execute. It's like, you could just tell. He's like, I can't change, but I also know it's wrong.
Yeah.
So you need to do this because I'm not brave enough to commit suicide.
Yeah.
You need to do this for me.
Yeah.
You need to kill me.
I'm done.
Yeah, I get how awful it is for society, but yet I caught a love of kids.
Yeah.
I really want to get a pedophile on this podcast. I'm looking for one, but not someone who's had an urge, someone who's done it.
And
has urges, and I really want to like get to the bottom of it and like
what
the life is like. I don't know where to find them.
Google it. There's probably like, they all have to like sign in and shit.
Yeah, help group.
There was I know a guy who got, I can probably hook you up with someone. He was a guy I know who worked at a place, and then they busted him for kiddie porn on his computer. So I don't know if he's done it.
Yeah.
But it was definitely kiddie porn.
Whoa, that'd be cool.
Yeah. And he's comedy community adjacent.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, he worked at a club. I could probably.
It's Veeder.
It's Gary Veeder.
It's Gary Veeder. Yeah.
Wow. I didn't want to, because it's a surprise. That was going to be the ending.
He looks so much like a kid. That's how he blends in. You see Veeder trying to hang out at school. He's like, hey guys, I can't do the Veeder impression. Like,
hey, like, hey guys.
I'm just like one of you.
Yeah. That is. But could you fucking imagine though?
Wow. If you caught that.
But also like, if you molest a kid, you got to be out of society.
You gotta be.
We can't have you. I'm not whatever. But we need to handle them better. We need places to put them, drugs to put them on.
Rogan used to talk about that. He was like, "You're broken. We just got to execute. It's like a dog that bites. You just put it down.
Yeah.
You're like, this one's broken. It's okay, but it's like same thing with like animal kingdom, human kingdom. It's like this one has this thing that we can't tolerate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, my friend JP, he's married now, but he used to like Zoftik chicks, which is chubby. It's a Yiddish word.
Oh, okay.
Zoftik, yeah. A little bit of weight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. No, I find that disgusting, but not morally reprehensible. You know what I mean? He just caught that. He could have just as easily caught prepubescent.
There's also a thing, too, with pedophiles. It's not just that they're attracted. There's also, it's they're medically, like, they're ultra-sexual. So it's not just that they're attracted to children. It's not like, oh, I'm just attracted to blondes.
And they need to fuck.
Their sex drive is amplified by, like, a billion. Plus, it's got that on it's at the poison-tipped arrow.
Damn.
That is like, it's also that. It's not just like, you know, like, because I'm into blondes, but I don't need to fucking follow one home.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, think of you at your horniest all of the time, and then it's for the worst thing ever.
Damn.
Yeah, like, it's, did you ever hear that story about the guy with the, it's like a story was going around, it's like a true story, medical case of a guy who was, He found him. He was married, had kids. And one day he finds himself attracted to children, tells his wife. Wife takes him to the hospital. He has a brain tumor. They cut the tumor out.
And then he was okay.
Goes away.
Whoa.
Five to six years later, he gets it again. The tumor came back.
That's how he knew the tumor was back.
Yes.
He's like, oh, I'm liking these kids again.
Yes.
Must be.
Pedophilia
check this out.
Is attached to brain injuries like a significant amount of times.
Whoa.
Which just shows you that it's like, oh, this is just a wiring thing.
Whoa, yeah.
Now, I don't think you should put him down, but like a dog, you put him in a field. You get a big fence and you put him in that field.
Right?
Put him on Pedophile Island.
Yeah.
No women, no kids.
Can I just suggest him?
Yeah.
Pedophile Island?
Now we're having fun.
Yeah. Yeah, keep them away from kids. Put them somewhere.
But if we could talk about it, if people could talk about it, then people would be like, oh, we get you out of medication.
Yeah.
You know, narcoleptics don't come out as narcoleptics because they know as soon as they do, you take their license. So
they try to like take as long as they can.
80% of – it's like 80% of them or something aren't registered.
Wow.
Yeah. But if you could –
that's why I never got tested for AIDS or never – rarely do because it's like – well, then I have it. I got to tell everybody my whole life is different. I might have it right now, but at least like I don't have to face it fully.
Yeah.
When I do it, man, it's going to put a crimp in my lifestyle.
Yeah, you probably don't.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're skinny.
I've been tested.
Yeah. No, but I get that. We had a lady come into the ER one time who had AIDS and – legally, we're not allowed to tell anyone, and she was with her boyfriend who didn't know, and she was like, you can't fucking tell him, and I can't – yeah, I told him.
Yeah.
I didn't
fuck the law.
I told – yeah, I mean, I was with this doctor, he's a really cool doctor, and he was like, I can't tell them. He's like, but if you want to talk about it loudly over there, he was like, I'll never say anything.
It's weird.
I don't know if I can go to jail for even telling you that I just broke HIPAA violation.
I don't know. But it's like you're not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
Also, doctors can't go to jail for breaking that.
It's a thing.
Oh, really?
HIPAA is like it's a legal thing. You can get sued.
Oh, there's a doctor.
I signed a thing at a point.
Debarred or whatever the doctor version is.
Yeah, you get a you just become like a yeah.
But like, if you don't help somebody,
but I'm a comedian. I make shit up. This is probably a
there
fake
you go.
Story.
There you, go.
You know what I mean? I'm playing a character, which I don't understand why people don't just do all the time. I was a character when I said that. I'm a character. What are you talking about? You're not going to arrest Brad Pitt? You know, I was doing a character. That's why I said that shit.
First and last names so much. Like, I love like specifics in comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's constantly like, why don't you just change the name to something that won't get you in legal trouble? And you're like, yeah, I guess I should have, but
I'm gonna give you a gift.
Yeah.
For all those stories going forward, just say Greg Stone.
Greg Stone.
Just say Greg Stone. He's a pedophile. He raped a bunch of women. It's like that'll be your go-to, and I'll just you know I'll take that for your comedy.
The idea that you can't tell somebody, it's like. So many times we're like, you know, they get into discussion about censorship. It's like, well, legally you're allowed to fire somebody. It's like, I finally got to the point. It's like, yeah, morally, I don't agree with this law.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just because America says that doesn't mean I think that's right. I'm finally at this point where I'm like, yeah, that's – no, I don't think you should be able to fire somebody because you don't like their views on something. No, that's
wrong. I agree. But like with –
something that's not at work.
With society, though, we have certain laws that like, all right, we – like if 70% of us think this is for the best, it's like, all right, I'll comply with some of these for now because for the better.
Like, I don't think 70, like let's say an obvious one, like weed laws, where you get like 60% of people think it should be legal,
but
it's still illegal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, well then, we don't even all think that. It's just the laws are behind.
Yeah, we have to fix those laws.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wait, what was the one you just said before that?
Well, you can fire somebody because you don't like what they have to say or what their views are.
Absolutely.
It's like, I mean, I'm not a Klan member. The Klan hates my people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And their charter, you know.
Yeah.
But still, my feeling is like, if you leave work and then go to a Klan meeting and then come back and they say, hey, we have a picture of you at a Klan meeting. It's like, yeah, this has nothing to do with my...
This is what I do at my own. Yeah.
If you worked at the NAACP, I could be like, hey, this really goes against everything
conflict
we stand
of interest.
For and we need you to not be in the Klan here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That I get.
Yes.
You know, but only if it goes directly against the whole moral or... Same thing. If you're a priest and you cheated, or you slept with one of the pastors, like one of the
kids,
the flock's wives, you cheated with somebody.
Okay,
it's like you can't be a priest here anymore.
Sure,
because we need you to not do that's part of the job. We need to trust you on it. But if you're like, I don't know, don't like the hometown team, you can't fire him for that.
No,
you can't fire somebody for being in the Klan.
Yeah,
these are legal also, organizations.
I want you around me. To be honest with you,
so you're not disappearing.
No, so that you'll learn from each other. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if we take a guy who hates black people and then take him away from all the black people, he's never going to learn to not like black people.
Right.
Because for the most reason, he's not liking them for not a real reason. It's bullshit. I want those people around me. I want like people like, hey, would you like however you feel about Louis? People like, would you open for him? It's like, yeah, he could probably learn from me or us. We don't. Let's not fucking ostracize these people.
What does that do?
What does it do? Nothing.
Right.
It makes them worse.
It's like when they got rid of Norm for saying he disagrees with the analysis of Roseanne.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying Roseanne's racism is okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's saying, I don't think she knew that lady was black. I don't think this is racist at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Not let's excuse racism. This is not an example of racism, is what he's trying to say. And they're like, get rid of him. It's this Tonight Show spot. And it's like, well, wouldn't you want him on the Tonight Show? Just be like, hey, can you clarify this? Now that we have you, it's so lucky we have you.
Yeah.
We can actually get more of your opinion.
But what is racism, right? Racism usually, I mean, you could say it's ignorance.
Yeah.
It's ignorance to knowing people, whatever.
Don't lobby that as an insult. Help them.
How do you cure ignorance?
Yeah. You don't do that with math.
Exactly.
When somebody's like, you don't fucking know division with remainders?
Yeah.
Ignorant. I'm like, no, just help me.
Yeah, what, I'll show you.
Four or five. It's like, it's four with a remainder of five, of two.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what?
Like, yeah. Oh, you're still having a hard time? Come over after work.
Yeah.
We'll sit. We'll talk to some black
people. That's how American History X, right? He hated black people until he went to prison and he hung out with Guy Tori.
Yeah.
And then he was like, oh, blacks aren't that bad.
Yeah. Dude, I hung out with a white supremacist in eighth grade because I grew up with all black. It's funny. We just cut the podcast off there. Yeah. I grew up with all black Puerto Rican guys. I grew up a block out of Newark, so it was like I was like the only white kid till I got to high school.
Isn't it weird, by the way? I'll let you go back to this.
Sure, let's not forget.
Puerto Ricans and Dominicans just drop N-bombs like it's nothing.
Oh, I got a good one on that.
Oh, and it's like, what? You guys aren't black. You're like light brown.
Yeah. All right, so like I just have to cap this so people don't think I'm hanging out with white supremacists. All my Puerto Rican friends started hanging out with Puerto Ricans when we got to high school, like real ones who were like, kind of like, you know, whatever, just whatever. They didn't want to hang out with a white guy. I had no one to hang out with because I didn't know any white people. I meet this one kid in high school who wore a Confederate flag. This is in New Jersey, by the way. Yeah. But like, he wasn't a racist because he was a racist because his dad was beating the shit at him all the time. Right. And the more he hung out with us, the more he got he realized that he just had his dad's poison in his head. It had nothing to do. It had nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
It had to do with the fact is he'd come in coughing blood. It's like, this guy's fucked.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And it's like, we don't want to say, we want to get this guy. Because he was a kid who was just troubled. It was eighth grade. What do you think he learned? You think someone took his job? No. Yeah.
We did that in high school where, like, no, there was a couple kids that were gay, but no one came out in this Jewish school until way later.
Yeah.
And, make gay jokes all the time and laugh at them. And then when you hit college and you meet gays, you're like, oh, they're people. Oh, I get it now. I was just way off. They're just like everybody.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, thank God I wasn't written off because now I'm totally fine with gays. I have lots of gay friends. But like, if they'd written me off, I'd just be on that island.
Yeah. Pedophilin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, all my friends grew up Puerto Rican black. We all said the N-word. Everyone said
it. You did too?
Yeah. My friend with black friends, but it was 80. You know,
it's like, get that nigger over there to go. It wasn't like, get that nigger over there.
No. You know? A soft day.
Yeah.
Always soft day. Right? That's how we hung. That's how it was.
Yeah.
I meet white friends in high school. My friend Mike, he's a doctor now. Great guy. He hears me. I'm like, y'all niggas crazy. You know? And he goes, dude, you can't say that. And I was like, what do you mean I can't? I was like, no.
You think he's not crazy? You're like, that's not even what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's not the crazy part.
Yeah. And he was like, nah, man. I was like, you can't say that, right? And he's like, no, but because this is how they feel and whatever, you're probably making me, like, gives the whole speech. And I agree with him. I go, fuck, man, you're right. Maybe I'm fucked up.
Yeah.
I go home. I'm hanging out with my boys. And they're like, I was like, hey, man, y'all dudes want to go bowling? And they were like, dude, all my Puerto Rican and black friends now go, dude, you say dude? Like, there was a weakness that now I showed, and they all they started calling me sir. Oh, they're like, oh, Mr. White's Mr. Wow. Proper. Like, here he is, sir. Very well, sir. We'll go bowling, sir. And I was like, holy shit. Like,
couldn't have picked a wider sport, too.
Couldn't pick a wider sport. Yeah.
It's like, you dudes want to play ball. They're like, all right, we're halfway there, but.
Yeah. Let's get on our rollerblades. Like, yeah. Dude, like.
Figure skating.
Yeah. And like, I don't know what the right thing to do in that move was, but the truth was, it was like, no. You just sent me back to my friends and now have ostracized me with my friends I grew up with.
That's the thing about this chick movement now. Whether like, you got to do this or act this way or don't, and it's like they fail to take into account that a lot of women like want you to push two or three times.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yes.
And so like, I get that you don't want that.
Yeah.
But you have to realize we're being trained by other people in your gender.
Yes.
Who are telling us the opposite. So don't act like out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You know, we're like asking them out, like, no. It's like, you know, let's say it's like all our grandparents, like, I asked her out 75 times, so she finally said yes.
Yeah.
Romantic story.
Yeah. Do you know where toxic masculinity came from? Women. Yeah. Why? Because they fucked all the assholes. You wanted to end assholes? You want to end fucking soul? You shouldn't have fucked those barbarians.
Yeah.
You should stop fucking the high school
guys.
Fucking
assholes.
All the dicks. You're creating them.
Everybody open micers was like, that was a standard joke where like chicks like assholes.
Yeah.
And then the joke was like, I'm just going to punch a chick in the throat so I can finally get a date.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, stop fucking the asshole. Reward nice guys. Yes. But they don't want to reward nice guys.
Nerds became – Weezer was the first time I think nerds became cool.
Yeah.
So whenever the year that was, which is maybe 20 years ago, maybe stop creating them. You know? There's a lot of betas who would have loved to have gotten laid.
Yeah. Dude, I was talking in Oakland at a house party on New Year's. I talked to a male feminist, a real male feminist.
Mm-hmm. Hiding something, you think, or like actual? Okay.
No, just like not gay, mm-hmm. but like borderline behaviorally, mm-hmm. you know? And just every time something came up, he would talk about like, oh, it's a great college. It's got tons of great – it's like a women's college. Has puts out great talent. This artist is from there. That artist is from there. Just really into it the way I'm into sports.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to be like – stop him or be like, yeah, but there's a lot of dude colleges too. But then it's like, nah, this isn't going to help me.
Yeah.
I want to hear this guy.
Yeah.
I rarely get to hear this point of view.
Yeah, yeah.
So just shut up and listen.
Yeah.
And then maybe it'll affect your opinion or maybe it won't. But like, you don't want to stop them from talking an opinion that's different than yours.
No, that's the best.
You want to hear it as long as possible.
Also, I want to know where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Wait, I want to know where I'm wrong, or you can also exist and you can also be right. And my thing with abortion is that, like, I honestly think both sides are right.
Yeah, that's an easy one. That's why they don't even use the same terms.
Yeah.
It's not pro-life, anti-life, or pro-choice, anti-choice.
Yeah.
It's pro-life, which they're both pro-life,
yep.
and it's pro-choice, which they're also both pro-choice.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So they just choose to say which one side they're on.
Yeah. My dad thinks they're babies the minute they're born, so he's going to defend babies. Other people don't think they're babies.
What?
There is no way to science doesn't dictate that. Pain, none of that to me means anything.
I'm in the minority where I don't think it. I used to like make jokes like life starts at 3 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And get a test.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that was a joke. The reality is, I think life starts in those early like trimesters, uh-huh. one of the first ones. But I am okay with murder for convenience.
Sure. I agree. Like, I think life doesn't matter.
And I would also say after she had a baby for 6 months, I'm like, if you can get rid of that baby, do it. I don't want this in my life.
I have a thing.
I'll bury it.
Yeah. Here's my stance on that is life only matters when it will be missed.
Yeah.
If I'm at a party and no one wants me there, I should leave. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if no one's going to miss it, does it really matter?
Yeah.
You can't judge potential. You can't say this is wasted potential because there's no fucking scale for
that. There's
no potential. Yeah.
You have no idea what it is. It's just a crying sack of meat.
Yeah. So I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, I don't give a shit. I'm not having abortions, babies, or anything. It's like, hey, you guys fight that. I'll be over here.
Yeah.
Did you
see a lot of deaths at the ER?
Yeah. I did. I had a guy in the elevator one time. The first person I ever saw die.
Whoa.
Consistently.
Did he die?
His daughter and I are bringing his bed up to his room. He's 98 years old or whatever, a million years old.
With him in the bed?
He's in the bed.
Okay.
And he's like...
It's on wheels.
It's on wheels. I'm rolling the bed in the way... We can't fit her in the elevator. I get on the elevator.
Oh, no.
I see this guy. He goes... and then nothing. And I'm like, huh. Okay. Get off the elevator. She walks over. She's like, what happened to my dad? Well, he's not breathing. And I'm like, I don't know. Like, I'm not trained for this shit. So I'm just pushing the bed. They call a code. All the fucking people come running over. They go through the signs. This is a 90 million year old guy. His brain was gone. They start doing fucking CPR, but they're not really, they're doing it, but they're also the
emotions.
Like,
he's gone.
He's gone. We know. We're doing this because she's here. We have a show. Let's put on the show.
Wow.
Yeah. That was the first one. The dad with the heart attack, I mean, dealing with that. That was another one. The death wasn't the worst. I do a bit about
death
it.
Was not the worst.
No, those the death I didn't really care about. The Munchausen by proxy. Have you heard of that?
What is that?
That was the worst for me. It was a mother who would consistently make her daughter sick so that she felt needed. So the mother felt needed. Now,
because you're seeing the abuse.
Because we're seeing this woman bring her daughter into the ER once a week. And we were trying. I remember the doctors were trying to get like child services. And they were like, this is like, you know, it's all foggy because it was so long ago. But I swear I remember I was sitting with this girl I sat with her for 13 hours. Her mother wasn't like in the room and she was like kind of suicidal, but wouldn't really aim towards it. But we knew. So when the doctor was like, this girl is, if we let her go, she's going to kill herself. And I'm talking to her, and I don't know how true this was because I feel like they could have pulled the trigger for something else. But I remember the doctor just being like, get her to say she's going to kill herself.
Get who? The mom?
Get the child to say it, because then we can take her away. Whoa. And then we can put her. And I'm talking to this girl, and she's just heavy depressed. And I'm like trying to be like, you know. And then she eventually admits it. And then we had to wait for it. We didn't have psych in my hospital, so we had to wait for another hospital to pick the psych patients up and drive them over. And I'm sitting with her as we're waiting for these people to come, and she's just like, that was my first real depth dive into like actual suicidal, not fake suicide. Like, she wants to be done. She's done. She's always sick. She doesn't want to live like this. Nothing's happy. And the mother was like this psycho fucking lady. Anyway, so I sat with her like for like 13 hours, and she's just like telling me like she wanted to kill herself. Whoa. Because her mother was feeding her shit. And we couldn't, I don't know how they proved or whatever, but I remember just one of the doctors being like, the mother's doing shit. We're like, we got to figure this out. Like, I don't really remember exactly, but she said she wanted to kill herself, and they put her in psych. And I honestly think I hear stories of that she like got better. They took her away from the mom, and it was like, it's child abuse. Yeah. She was like, it's like,
they want her to be sick so that they can take care of them.
Yes. Yeah. It's wild. I think it's kind of rare, but
it's like every time I hear those stories, and they're like, my friend's like, dude, you got to be a parent. You'll love being a parent. It's like, well, it's not always the case though. So like, what are you talking about?
What do you mean?
When they're like, you'd be a great dad. You'd love it.
Yeah, but you're not going to do that.
I would do something. I've had friends though that are like good people that like just kind of abandon their kids. Like, I don't really see them.
Yeah.
So like, they're good people.
Also, I just don't want to be. Then don't be a parent, because you don't want to be a parent. You know. Yeah. But like, that woman with that shit is someone who is fucked up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that woman was fucked up, and she had this hole and this fear of losing her daughter.
Yeah.
That is fucking wild.
Wow. So she made her sick. She didn't have to lose her.
Yeah, she'd make her sick so that she constantly needed her, or that she can feel, you know, it's, she can have attention. It's all this shit.
Damn.
Yeah, man. It's there's a lot of fucked up, weird things. There are stories of shit. I didn't see this personally, but there's like mental illness. Dude, do deep dives into mental illness.
Yeah.
Some of the shit is wild.
Like what?
Like, I think it's called fucking something neglect, where a person won't acknowledge the left side of their body.
Whoa.
So they just don't think their left hand is their left hand. So they see it and they want to cut it off.
Whoa.
Yeah. They'll shave half of their face, not shave the other half.
They can't even like mentally say like, I don't feel like it's mine, but I guess everyone says it, so I'll shave it.
No, because the wires aren't connecting.
It's just not there.
It's just not there. And it's super rare, and I think it only happens with like brain injury.
Yeah.
But then, and then this is the sh- and this is where it's, this is a dangerous conversation. But I'm okay with dangerous conversations. That like, you say that that's bad, right? We can all agree.
Yeah.
That is a mental illness. There is people who, common cases of people who like don't
cut off a limb,
cut off their limb because they don't want their limb there.
Yeah.
Now, with knowing that, and this is a really sensitive and shitty thing to say, where do we go with transgender? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
My thing is
a theory that's out there, that it's a mental illness. I've heard. Well, as a theory, I don't know if it's, you know, it's
illness is something we define.
Yeah.
You define illness. I define it as, look, if this will make you happy, go for it. Also, if cutting your leg off makes you happy, do it.
Go for it. You're not hurting anybody.
But if we can give you a medication that would make you not want to cut your leg off, I think that'd be acceptable. If we can give you a medication that would make you not want to be transgender, is that acceptable?
Yeah. The weird thing is, so people are like, no, that's who they are. They're fine. But then Ben Shapiro, who's like a professional antagonist, mm-hmm. through facts, he uses facts to like bother people.
Yeah, yeah.
And he'll intentionally be antagonistic. So I could say two things to you. I could be like, nice pants or terrible top. You know, he chooses to go terrible top.
Yeah, I don't love that.
Yeah. But his theory is that transgender is a mental illness.
Sure.
It should be treated. And he goes, the reason he says that is because post-op transgender people who have now become who they are,
mm-hmm.
their depression rates are sky high.
Mm-hmm.
And people are like, well, they're depressed because they were bullied in high school. And he's like, yes, okay, let's say that's true.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, but the depression rates are the highest since Holocaust concentration camp Jews.
Mm-hmm.
So that level of bullying
mm-hmm.
would have to be so high that they are equal to Jews in concentration camps. And he goes, so that's one theory.
Mm-hmm.
Where another theory is, it's just a mental disorder. And the surgery doesn't help change that mental disorder. And instead of treating it with surgery, we should be treating it with mental situations.
Sure.
Again, I have no idea, but I'm like, As a theory, I'm like, that makes sense to me just as much as become who you are and you'll be happier. It makes sense to me.
Depression now, though, is high
across
the board because of social media. Yeah. I saw a thing when someone was, I read a headline of a thing or whatever that was like, women put all this shit out so you can get the likes, and it's all very superficial. So that's making women.
It's like
that's driving up. I mean, there's more to that than my sentence. It's not smart enough for me to say.
So you know how there's like details that go along with things?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we were talking about when we get your coffee or something like. But like the result now is women are all hotter because it's a result of at any moment they could be on Instagram.
Yeah.
They could be on their friends. Like, let's all take a picture. So they're even to go to the supermarket, they're dressing their cutest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is that good or bad? That's not too much stress. It's great for me.
Yeah, exactly.
Great for me.
Yeah, they just did a study recently. I just saw like yesterday, in London, I think. But they took 200 people, blocked them out of their Facebook, just Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And the result was they were happier but less informed about the news.
Great.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, and then at first I was like, oh, you can't be less informed. But I'm like, can you not be less informed? Like, I don't need to know about politics. I don't think mathematically my vote matters.
Yeah.
Just mathematically. And so then it's like, who cares if I'm not informed?
Yeah. It's price. I'd rather pay that price.
Be happy.
Absolutely. Ignorance is bliss.
Yeah.
One more stamp on that like transgender thing, though, I just want to add, which is like, this is why I hate when people shit on comic books, because we've already handled the issue we're talking about in comic books with mutants, right?
Oh, right.
The comics were, there was a great
they'd be tried comic to killed.
Where yeah. they were like, where they introduced a cure for mutant powers, and half the community was like, "Don't fucking
I remember
cure
the X-Men
this."
Had that. Like the guy with the wings, like, "Yeah, I want to be normal again."
Yes.
And other people are like, "No, fuck that. That's who I am."
Yes,
I changed shapes.
Yes, and then there were some people who were like, "All right, what if you're born a fish? Yeah. You don't want to look like that. You want to take a fucking pill." Like, if some people can have the surgery and it works for them, have a good time. But if someone can take a pill and go, "All right, now I don't have to be." Good for them, too. Both
good for
can
them.
Live.
Whatever you want to do.
Yes.
Judy Gold, one of her old great bits was she had trouble breathing, and she went to get surgery, and like, yeah, we need to open up like a canal or some hole in your whatever, in your septum.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, while we're here, I can just give you a nose job. And she was like, no, I like my nose. And he goes, no, it's free. Like, you're already getting the surgery, so I can just also do a nose job. And she goes, leave my fucking nose alone. I don't want a fucking nose job. And they're like, it's free. She goes, get the fuck away from me. I don't want to change my nose.
Yeah.
But they're like, we don't understand. How could you not want to change it? She's like, because that's who I am. I like it.
Yeah.
But other people are like, really? Free nose job? I would love to have a smaller nose.
I think about that surgery stuff. It's like changing my face?
Yeah.
That's weird. Like, I don't know how I feel. I don't love my nose. I don't love anything about me physically, to be honest. Mm-hmm. But I love me, so I'll keep it.
Yeah, but like, let's say you had a cleft palate or something that's not like where you don't dribble food out of your mouth, but like, a weird double chin or a line down your face. And it's like, yeah, you probably want to change that. But then it's like, what if you're on an island where everybody had that? Then you wouldn't think twice about changing it.
Yeah. Well, it's comedy. If we're all doing the same act, none of us are special.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you got to watch other people's stuff.
Yeah.
All these comics, especially the big celebrity comics who only do theaters and then work out occasionally.
Yeah.
You see them and you're like, oh, dude, we all as a group worked out these jokes a while ago.
Yeah,
Crocodile
yeah.
Hunt was the first one. I saw Martin Lawrence do one. It was like a year after everyone was like kind of non-verbally agreed, we're done with Crocodile Hunt jokes.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And he was like, you know, that Crocodile Hunter should hunt is this. And we're like, oh, you just got to spend more time in clubs, dude.
Yeah.
You have no idea that's not original.
Imagine if you were a doctor and you studied no one else's work.
Yeah.
No, we need to be looking so you can. I watch comedians go, oh, look how he handled that.
Yeah.
I'm not stealing it, but I can use that tool in my own way.
Of stealing stuff by accident. It's like, just don't.
Anthony and I have this great.
You know what's stolen, what's not. I sure you opening yourself up to maybe making a mistake.
Yeah.
But like, it's not nearly as bad as just being hacky.
Yeah. Anthony, I do a thing because we're so close. Anthony DeVito is like my best friend since high school.
You guys wrote on the Michelle show together?
Yeah. He did a joke. We think similar sometimes.
Yeah.
I wrote a joke. Sure. He goes, I wrote a joke. And he just goes, all right, we both do that joke.
Yeah.
And I went, okay. Yeah. Now, I wouldn't work that out with other, like, it'd be, because other people would steal the shit and whatever. But it's like, yeah, I have no problem with, because it's different enough, the same.
Yeah, I just heard a Patrice clip. He was talking about openers. We'll get back to the ER in a second.
Yeah.
But, like, he was saying, he goes, day one, I watched the entire show.
Mm-hmm.
I watched the opener in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
And I see everything they're doing. And then they should, in my mind, watch me. So now we know what the other one's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, That way, I'm like, I know what you do. I ain't stepping on your shit. It mm-hmm. goes, there's none of this. Like, I'm the headliner. I got to do this. He goes, nah, we're all equals. We're all just doing comedy,
mm-hmm.
Which is real smart and nice of him. And he goes, and then sometimes you get the opener be like, oh, I have a, they'll see my act. And this is me, Patrice. And they'll be like, well, I have a joke similar. So I want to show him I have that joke.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He doesn't think I stole it from him. And he'll do it. And he's like, motherfucker, I just showed you what I was going to do. Why are you now doing what I'm going to do? And they're like, I'm just trying to show you it's not stolen. Because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Do your shit, man. It's not going to be the same as me. I get it. Do your shit. But look what I'm going to do on this show this week, and don't step on my shit this week.
Yeah.
I don't think you stole from me.
Yeah.
I don't think your fucking angle is that golden. You got to worry about that shit, dude.
Yeah.
But everyone's worried about it. It's similar. So it's like, yeah, it's similar. We know the difference between similar and stolen.
Are you, I don't know how to, Ari Spears? Are you,
Ari Spears?
Yeah. You like this guy at all? I have a story.
I barely know him. I just met him in Denver.
I worked with him once. And I used to do a joke about how, like, doing sexual things doesn't make you gay. Like, if I jerk a guy off, it doesn't make me gay.
Okay.
It's fine. It is what it is. Like,
sure, disagree,
you
sure.
have to be. Well, making you gay means you're attracted to men.
I think you just bringing it up makes you gay.
I mean,
maybe I'm.
I'm not gay. I'm not straight. Every door is open.
Yeah.
If someone comes in and I want to fuck them, I'm gonna fuck them.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, but that's cheating. But I think me jerking you off doesn't make me attracted to you.
Right.
That's kind of the basis of the thing. Yeah, it's like a job where it's like, you know, I could stick something up my ass. It doesn't make me attracted to someone emotionally.
Right.
It's just a fun, great thing. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing the joke essentially about that. And the joke is that, like, I could jerk every guy off in this room tonight, walk out, not gay. Right? He comes on. He goes, I don't know, man. You fucking jerk every guy off. You're a fucking faggot. Yeah. Right? Crowd lights up.
Yeah.
Right? Fine. So I go, I'm not doing that joke tomorrow. That was the Wednesday or something. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Doing it.
He didn't watch my set again. Every single time he got on stage, he went, I don't know, man. Keep it going for that guy. He's a real fucking faggot. He called me a faggot.
And people are like, what?
No, they laughed. I don't know what's wrong with these people. I was like, you guys are laughing at him just calling me a faggot and based on nothing. Six shows called me a faggot every show.
Wow.
It was wild.
I love that. Playing off a joke that didn't exist.
Yeah.
And it's still getting laughs. You're like, wait, so there was, you're not even laughing at the joke, you're just laughing at him saying the word faggot.
Well, I kind of love that crowd. They were like, hey man, I'm here to see Aries or whatever. It's like, I guess it's funny, I'll come along. It was his opening joke. He went, that guy's jerking people off, he's a faggot. And people were like, ha ha. And I think you'd leave it, what? Like, yeah, didn't even come close to doing that material the rest of the weekend.
My only Aries story is that I got an invitation to do Comedy Juice when it was just in LA. I hadn't come here yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was the show of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Big names would pop in. Eventually they let big names pop in too much, where it's like the middle and high level names couldn't go on because all these Tosh and Dalia and all these people would bump everybody. So like, what's, I'm not even going down there. And then the crowd would see the same people, Jeff Ross, Tosh and Dalia, pretty much every week. And they're like, it's kind of boring. And it went away. But when it was hot, you wanted to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I got an email saying, hey, we'd love you to have Comedy Juice. We'd love to be on it. But it said, hey, Aries, we'd love you to be on Comedy Juice instead of Ari. And I was like, hey, I'd love to do it, but I think you might have like had like an auto complete on your email.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this is Ari Shaffir, but like you wrote Aries. And they're like, oh, fuck, man. Yeah, we actually were worrying him. Yeah, we got a date open in like 3 months. And I'm like, but you just had a date for him this week.
Yeah.
What?
Oh. Yeah.
At least say I fucked up and we'll get you in right now.
Don't
be like, yeah, it's not for you. We don't have time for you.
I don't know LA very well, but I remember I got an email. Someone was like, hey, are you coming to the Ice House? I was like, you coming to the Ice House? And I'm like, I'm in Queens.
Yeah.
And they were like, dude, you're supposed to be here. And I was like, man,
it's not going
to
happen.
It's not going to happen. And they were like, I guess there's another Greg Stone who was booked. And I'm like, oh, I think there's another Greg Stone. I don't know who this guy is. I never met him. I actually haven't heard of him since. But I was like, you might want to get in touch with him because I'm in Queens. I've never been to
LA. Did you hear about the Premium Blend situation?
No.
It wasn't Premium Blend, but whatever their version is now.
Oh, House Party with that guy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, DeVito was on that show. What
were
exactly?
they saying about it? It was a guy. It was two guys with the same name.
Yeah,
and they told an assistant like, book Greg Stone.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it wasn't Greg Stone, but whatever.
Yeah.
And I said okay, and they
Josh booked Johnson.
Josh Johnson.
Josh Johnson.
And there was another one who was a comedian.
Yeah,
he just booked some like doc work.
He was like 3A.
And
he was like,
sweet, reply. And in his mind, he's like, finally, people are recognizing my talent. This is great. I got booked for Comedy Central.
Yeah.
And he gets there like, who are you?
Yeah.
Josh Johnson, like, oh, no. They said somebody should be fired over that. I said, honest mistake.
Honest
you said,
mistake,
go
sure.
find the comic Josh Johnson, and they found the comedian Josh Johnson. That's such a...
It's also a great comedy story, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah, and then he felt so bad. He apparently didn't even do well.
How could he have done well? He was a year in or something.
Oh, really?
He was, like, super. He thought exactly what you thought You Start Comedy would be like. I was like, I'll do this. People will realize I'm great, and Comedy Central will call me. Like, you don't realize, like, you have to know Comedy Central. You have to be great. He was like, oh, this is how it goes.
Yeah.
And then I think Josh, like, I think they gave him a half hour. Like, I think they gave him a half hour next.
To make up for it.
I think they were just, I don't think, I mean, he's really funny, Josh Johnson. He kills, but it was also like,
black guy?
Yeah. Okay. It's like, you got to give him that half hour. Like, you have
at
to.
At least you got to put him back on the house party or something. You got to give him the free show. You can be like,
He's great. Yeah. I finally, like, really met him and at the Cellar, and he killed. And I was like, dude, you just tell me the story.
What did DeVito say about it? Or what did he say about it?
I didn't ask him because I was like, he probably has to do this a lot. But I'm like, that's one of my favorite comedy stories.
What did DeVito say about it? Was everybody saying it?
They were all laughing. They were all like, we had a, and this guy was just there. This Josh Johnson guy was just there in Hawaii. It was, he got a free trip to Hawaii comedy special. I don't know if that guy's still around, but, like, he lived the comedy. He has more. I didn't even get on. I didn't even do the fucking show. Fucking pricks.
I never did them. The only thing they booked me for was the Tells Underground, at the point where they weren't going to book me, but they were already ready to do my show and keep saying they love me.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ryan Moran was like, you're doing a Tell show, right? I'm like, no. They've decided. And he's like, oh, dude. Sorry. Let me fix that. But it was like, you guys keep saying you love me and you've never put me on your network ever.
Yeah.
So maybe stop saying you love me.
Yeah. I have one guy at Comedy Central who's a great guy, and he keeps like, I love you guys. I love you guys. And it's like, thanks, but it's like, you got to make more friends over there, because also that's why they're not putting on. They want hot and young, and it's like, how about seasoned and great?
They want the people they could like hanging out with at a party, which is cool, but only for certain shows. They should be putting on great comics.
Yeah, so it's, you know, but I'm not like mattering. I'm having a great I'm having a great time out here.
That's the thing too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's tough to complain about like white guys not being able to get their scripts read when I'm making, you know, over $100,000 a year. It's like.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm not, it's not facing me. The issue is not a problem for me.
Also, I can make my own shit. Like, it's like, I can make my own shit.
I think the thing with like black and white or minority or women or whatever in comedy, where it's like the percentages have gone way up from women and minorities.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, if you're a woman in comedy, you're one out of, you know, maybe two out of 10,
mm-hmm.
maybe 15%, something like that. But you get booked at a way higher rate than men. But for a white dude, now versus 10 years ago, there's way more options.
Yeah.
You know, we've doubled our rate. They've like done it by 10 times.
Yeah.
Just us alone, if you're not comparing it, we're in a better position than we were 10 years ago.
Wait.
But by comparison, we're doing worse.
Oh, as compared, because there's just so much more comedy now. There's just so much more to make money. Yes.
Podcasts. There's ways to become headliners now.
Sure.
There weren't.
Serious. Like, you're just getting money from everywhere.
Now, if I started now as a white dude, I'm way better off than if I started as a white dude before there were these mandates, like you got to hire blacks and women.
Yeah.
I'm better off now.
Do you know how I was surviving as a comic when I fucking 6 years ago?
Yeah.
I had a YouTube video of a dog that wouldn't walk.
Yeah.
He was just laying on the ground, and I'm just kind of dragging him. And he's like lazily not going anywhere. I got like $300 a month from this YouTube video of just a dog. I mean, millions of fucking views, my stand-up. 20 views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was like, I didn't have that option 10 years ago.
I didn't have that.
Just a check coming for a fucking dog I filmed, walking dogs for Gary Veeder.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Wow. Veeder and I did a dog walking podcast out in the back there. We just looked at all these, like, the shittiest dog walker Yelps.
Yeah.
You know, where people like hire him. He's like, this guy fucking stole my dog and never returned to left town. And we're like, the funny thing was like, yeah, this is terrible. But if you looked at this guy's Yelp reviews from a year earlier, it was just as bad.
Yeah.
So like, these people could have avoided it by just looking at this guy's Yelp reviews. He's a drug addict.
Yeah. Dude, I was walking this dog for Gary, Scrappy. I walked him, bring him home. I sit on this chair. The dog jumps on my lap. He falls asleep. I fall asleep. I wake up. The family made me dinner. And they were like, we didn't want to wake you up. Scrappy was asleep. You want to eat? God. And I was like, I'm so sorry. They're like, you know, they were like really cool about it. But I fell asleep for like 4 fucking hours.
Wow.
They came home and I was just sleeping in their couch. Like, it's like meet the parents or whatever. I woke up and everyone was like,
around you?
They were just like sitting at a dinner table. And I'm like, I got to go. It's wild.
It's like, I feel awful.
Yeah. But
I forgot something else to say. Oh, here's what I was going to say. So that idea that everyone's laughing about something, what was just that? What were you just saying?
Everyone's
making fun of you and laughing.
Oh, the guy called me, Ari Spears called me a fag. Everyone's laughing. No joke.
Fuck, no. It was after that.
Everybody's laughing.
Damn it. That's something ridiculous. Fucking fuck. I just had something fun to say about Louis C.K. And you gotta like keep it to yourself. Ah, fuck, it's gone.
Damn. Not dog walking.
The point was, whatever it was, it's gone now. It won't even work.
That's all right.
The point was like something ridiculous. And then like, and you're like laughing at how ridiculous it is, but like that's what those girls were doing in Aspen with Louis. And then the only they were just laughing at how ridiculous it was that this guy would like jerk off.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Jerk off in front of you. And they're like, yeah, and then he did. And like, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
And then they were mad that somebody, their manager was like, hey, shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They're like, I just want to tell the story.
Yeah.
But and in his mind, Dave Becky's defense, he's like, no, my client is married.
Yeah.
You're going to fuck with his fucking marriage.
Yeah.
It wasn't like powerful men trying to shut up, you know, younger women. It was like, dude, that's a dude who's going to fucking feel this.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up and stop spreading it. Change the gossip name.
Yeah. Say it's Greg Stone.
Yeah. So it can look two ways. It can look like, oh, you're shutting up young women, or like, I'm just protecting a guy I know who's married.
He's my friend.
Yeah.
If he wasn't married,
then it's like, talk away.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, enjoy yourself. Do you think they should have just done it anyway?
Done what anyway?
Well.
Talked anyway?
Yeah. Like, done the bit anyway?
Yeah, but at the same time, it's like, let's just say it wasn't something where it's sexual.
Yeah.
Let's just say it's like, I looked in the window and saw Louis masturbating to gay porn.
Yeah.
Or that's a better example, because that's now one where we're like, you have to allow that.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to talk about that. Like, hey, shut the fuck. He's married. You can't say you saw him masturbating to gay porn. Shut the fuck up. And it's like, but it's a fun story. It's like, yes, but it's affected someone's life.
Yeah.
My thing is, but they're like, but then again, at the same time, my thing is like, you don't want to do stories that affect someone's life. So I don't want to do a story about me and you going to get hookers.
Yeah.
If you got this girlfriend, you're going to leave you.
Yeah, but if
you've been single, then I'm going to do the story about you and I getting hookers.
Totally.
And I don't care if you're like, dude, I don't want people knowing. He's like, well, fuck off, man. I don't care. It's not affecting your life or losing your job. But at the same time, this is also their story.
Sure.
This guy jerked off in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like he told me how he jerked off in front of someone else where it's fully his story.
Mm-hmm.
It's also my story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Bobby Lee took me to Tijuana to get hookers. And he's like, that's my story. I'm like, also mine. I also got
hookers. Oh, yeah.
You know?
It wasn't like
you told me about a time you did it.
Yeah.
I get that it involves you, but it also involves me, and it's my story.
We're both doing this fucking bit. Let's try to have different angles. We're both party stories.
Yeah, so I get it from their point of view. Like, what, I want to do the jokes. But I also get it from like, but he's married.
He's married. Yeah, like, come on.
But now that he's divorced, he should call them like, oh, by the way, you can do the bit again now. I'm way divorced. Like, it's not going to affect me.
I don't understand why they're not. I mean, I guess it's like fucked up. I guess they're probably getting death threats from people who, I'm sure they're getting from like Louis fans who must be crazy. But it's like, do this to tell them.
Online.
Tell the fucking stories,
just
man.
Tell it now.
Yeah,
go
why not?
Up and fucking do big good bits about it.
Yeah. He's doing like some funny stuff about, like he's just starting to talk about it a little bit. He's opening with that line, which is like, is that line about like a, I don't want to burn his fucking joke, but was it?
What are you going to take away my birthday next?
No. He did like a line that was like, what do you say? It was like, I have some advice. It's like, if a woman asks you if you can masturbate in front of her, if you ask if you can masturbate in front of a woman, it was like, ask, are you sure? And if they say yes, still don't
ask
do it.
Again.
and then he's like, if Parkland, he goes, if you want people to forget about you masturbating in front of somebody, do a joke about the Parkland kids.
Yeah.
It's great. I probably should have just.
When he started, it was weird because when he started, I saw him and people were like, he's not being honest about his situation. He used to always be honest about his situations. And my argument to those people, like, you haven't really analyzed his jokes very well because he was never honest about his celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he never was like, I have a show and I do this. He was only honest about him as just some dude named Louis.
Yeah.
You know, it had nothing to do with his celebrity.
Yeah.
And this was stuff that happened now 13, 14 years ago, back then 12 or 13 years ago, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like not who he is and not what he's doing. So to be honest about it, it's not like he's still doing it. So he can't be honest about what the press is saying.
Yeah.
But what he started to be honest about was what his life situation is now. Mm-hmm. He would do jokes about people booing him to his face in the street.
Yeah.
Like, that's unhonest. This is what's happening to me now.
Yeah.
Not even saying like, well, you deserve it. It's like, be that as it may.
Sure.
But here's my new loud life experience, and that's what I'm going to do bits about.
Also, I'm sorry, but it's like that joke, those jokes are like a parachute where it's like, we also want you to, before you're used to jumping out of a plane because you've been off for nine months,
that's crazy.
Just do the most powerful thing immediately and hope that chute opens.
Yeah. Here's
crazy?
What I say for people like Paul F. Tompkins or people like, oh, he's always been honest. Why didn't he talk about this? And I saw him on stage. I made sure to find out when I just wanted to see it. He's one of the best comics of the 2010s for sure. And I saw him afterwards, you know, just said hi and good to see him back where, you know, where we always see him on the stage. And he goes, yeah, it was cool. He said, this was the first time, because I had to go to my notes, but I didn't go up with my notes. You know, I started without my notes.
Yeah,
then I had to go to him. But it was the first time I've been back that I didn't have to start with notes.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you want that guy who can't even be off book to do a hard-hitting joke. Like, dude, when I'm off stage for a week, I'm off.
Yeah.
10 months?
Think of it as UFC.
No way. 10 months with all the fucking barrage of psychic damage to him?
Yeah.
You ain't gonna. Yeah, ring rust in the UFC.
Could you imagine
I've been
a fight?
Off 6 months instead of three. Well, you're way worse off.
Also, the thing we want you to talk about is Conor McGregor. So we want you back and we want you to fight the toughest guy.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's gonna get his ass kicked.
Yeah.
Let him
get back into it.
Couple sparring.
In baseball, we have like you get AAA assignment for a little bit.
Yes, let him do the AAA. And he's in the AAA right now.
He's in AAA.
He's in the goddamn AAA.
Yeah.
And we're treating him like he's doing
a special.
HBO specials.
It really, it's like all these blogs just show a lack of understanding of how it works.
Yeah, but they don't care. They know.
Or they'll be like, why don't you boycott this gig? It's like, oh, because they only get like 12 road gigs a year. And I'm just not in a position to give one of them up because this venue decided to book someone that you don't like or that you think I shouldn't like. Well, guess what? That guy takes the bus. Should I boycott the bus?
Mm-hmm.
I need to get around. So you got to give me a better example.
Boycott your fucking iPhone. Boycott your pants.
Yeah.
Someone gave me shit because I had opened for Louis last week. He didn't ask me. The club asked me.
Oh, okay.
The club asked me. It was like a hosting gig. I was like, yeah, I'll do the thing. And they were like, well, why would you? That's like, how many? So he's my boss.
Right.
How many of your bosses can you say are angels?
Right.
Every company you fucking work for is dirty and filthy and shitty, and he's the least of that as compared to Apple or whatever.
It's weird because neither side is seeing the other anymore. You keep hearing the same points, and it's like neither one is getting through to the other.
Yeah. I want to see what happens after Trump is out of office to see if everybody's just ultra sensitive.
A little bit.
I think it's like we have this guy here. We have to... You know, I think people are just ultra tight about what they're letting in and letting out.
It's hilarious, though, because the result is we have no hosts for the Oscars. We're all turning on each other so much that people are like, well, there's no one that's free of this.
Yeah.
Literally no one.
Yeah.
So that they can't find anyone famous who doesn't have a black mark. It's not just famous people. It's all people.
Yeah.
And so then it's like, oh, so do you just want to do away with entertainment?
Yeah.
Because eventually that's going to be the result.
Yeah.
If you do entertainment, they're going to search all your old stuff, find something, and drive you out. So it's just like, no, there could be no more specials, no more TV shows.
But it has to be podcasts and a la carte bullshit.
Well, I saw Burr at my only oddball I ever did. Mm-hmm. He was like doing the voice of the audience. Like, he's terrible. He should be fired. He goes, from what? Fired from what? I don't have a job.
Yeah.
The people want to see me pay to see me. The people who don't.
Yeah.
So you can convince some of those people not to. I can't be fired. I don't have a job.
Yeah. The Oscars thing is like, I also don't talk about it because I'm like, I don't care about the Oscars.
I don't care about the Oscars, yeah.
But James Gunn getting taken off Guardians of the Galaxy for me, do you familiar with that? With like, because he had those pedophile tweets that were like, he's not a pedophile. 99% of people.
About pedophiles.
He's playing a character.
Yeah.
It's a character. You can't fucking do that shit. But they cut him. And now his gift, man, he has amazing gifts to give. We've taken away. So we're all fucked.
And it's also like, it's actions. It's not words, because words are interpreted, but actions are real.
Yeah.
And so, like, you're saying Roseanne is racist, and maybe she's more racist than some people or maybe less than others, but, like, she hires black people.
Yes.
When she doesn't – if she was racist and, like, said, I'm firing all the black people in my company, like, wow, that's racist. You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying a joke that maybe sometimes – some people found fine, some people didn't find fine, it's like, oh, okay, but, like – her head writer, her showrunner, was a black woman.
Mm-hmm.
So she's showing you by example, I value the opinions and the expertise of black people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't disvalue them.
Mm-hmm.
But this joke showed the opposite. All right. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, when Louis lost all that shit, he had multiple shows that I think he was producing for women.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing. I talked to somebody, one of those women that are like famous sort of comedians that are way against him. And I was like, well, what about the women he's helping? And she was like, who? I'm like, Adrian. He's going to produce a show for Adrian Appalucci, like someone who slipped through the cracks, wasn't getting anything done.
Mm-hmm.
This guy saw her and was like, I want to help you make something. And her answer was, well, I hope, you know, I would hope that, you know, someone would help her anyway. Someone else would help her. I'm like, okay, that hope is not reality.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen because it hadn't been happening. So you've now put Adrian in your quest to like punish this dude who's no longer doing the thing you hate.
Yeah.
who hasn't been doing the thing you hate for over a decade.
Yep.
You're now, the result is a valuable woman is going to fail out of, she's applying for day jobs. Like she's failing out of the business when she could be a powerful female voice.
Yeah.
And so congrats, you feel good about yourself.
When you take Louis away, there isn't another Louis.
Yeah.
Especially with these like these comedians that
it ain't
are that
like
level.
Where someone else will take his place.
No. There isn't a vacuum. There isn't this someone just steps up. He is doing a very specific individual thing. There may not be someone who can do that for Adrian. Also, maybe someone who doesn't know her.
That's most of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's like that. It's such a fucking long shot in this business.
Such a long shot. When you get a break, it's like you need that break. So
if
there's Judd Apatow's and Tig Notaro's out there, go make a show for Adrian. If you care, change something. It's like those people who were against like police brutality after Baltimore, and they're tweeting and Facebooking about it. It's like, you know, you can go to Baltimore and volunteer. It's not that far. Volunteer to help the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can just write an angry post on your Facebook, and you've done nothing.
You've done nothing. You've
accomplished nothing. So it's like, go help her. Go help her.
Yeah.
Judd, go help her, Tig. Help Adrian.
Yeah.
Make a show for her.
Yeah. Take the baton that Louis fell. Grab the baton that he was carrying and pay for that
shit. Do your best. You won't be able to, you don't have the reach he has, but like you have some, help her.
Yeah, Judd, I mean, what can't Judd do? You know? Yeah,
exactly.
Let him do that shit.
Help someone who's already making, and kiss up to another celebrity.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I try to, because I said a lot of shit on my podcast that I'm like.
What's that podcast called?
Oh, The Rad Dude Cast. Yeah.
The Rad Dude Cast.
I should tell people. It's very funny. I don't know why. I'm not good at. I hate that emotion. Shit.
All right, relax, dude.
No, please. I will
move on.
I'll spiral, and you'll let me spiral. No, but there's just shit. Like, I like characters, and it's hard to do a completely new accent that isn't just racist.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm trying to do a different voice. I can't be like, that's not a fucking voice. You go Asian, kind of, and then you change it, but it's like, no, we people talk this way.
Yeah.
Let's have fun with it. Italians are cartoons.
Here's my thing. At some point, I realized this doesn't really matter because the Comedy Store, the Cellar, Comedy Store is a little different now because it's such a fucking celebrity haven now.
Mm-hmm.
But the Cellar, whose lineups are not nearly as good as they were, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Stand, who has just good lineups for sure. New York Comedy Club, you've seen it. It's like clubs are packed, full of people saying horrible shit.
Mm-hmm.
And so then you realize, like, oh, whatever the zeitgeist is, like, this is wrong, this is wrong. The actual numbers speak to a group of people who want to hear dark shit.
Yeah.
And, when Kevin Hart, it's like, fuck, so, the rage against him is awful, get rid of him. And then his movie opens at number one.
Yeah.
So, like, people aren't like, fuck this guy.
Yeah.
They're not watching the movie out of some sort of dark curiosity. They're watching the movie because I like Kevin Hart and I don't care about this tweet from 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't care. I'm going to watch this movie. I personally am not the biggest fan of Kevin Hart movies, but if you are, then fucking go for it. And these people have shown that they don't care.
Yeah.
So you're making us care about something we don't care about. And they keep comments. So it's like only play to the people who are coming to the shows who do want to hear stuff where you go like, oh, you like that. The danger of it. It's fun.
Dude, it's the fringes that are fighting, and everyone else is like, yeah, man, I don't know. I got to go work,
I got
to
work.
I don't give a shit, I'm opening shelves. I want to listen to something while I'm fucking stocking shelves.
Yeah.
It's like, let them stock their fucking shelves with some jokes. It's like, no one gives a fuck.
Let's get back to the ER.
Well, all right.
Sorry.
No, I don't care.
Every time I do this, I'm like, why am I letting it take away from fun shit? Sorry.
No. Wow.
Did you ever steal drugs from there?
No.
Why? What a waste.
Well, I'll tell you, some lady put morphine in my pocket. She was like, hang on, hold on this for a second. And I saw her outside and she was like, hey,
you got that morphine, baby?
Can I have it? Yeah, because I didn't realize that's how she was trying to sneak out morphine. She got fired afterwards.
Oh, she was an employee.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't mind. I hope you don't mind pivoting to another job.
Okay.
I worked at Sears where
it was Roebuck?
Sears and Roebuck.
Yeah.
Car audio department. In 1 year.
What department?
Car and audio. Car audio was car stereos at the time. 1 year, the apartment I was in stole over $75,000 worth of merchandise.
Wow.
In 1 year, I was working, it was four or five guys. I didn't know what was going on. I don't give a shit. I have no problem stealing from companies. You got these, fuck these people. They ruin people's lives.
Sure.
Absolutely.
I shoplift constantly. Try not to do it from mom and pops.
No, I don't. I won't. Mom and pop.
Yeah. Any airport store, steal away.
Yeah. Go into Walmart, fill your pockets, treat yourself. I'm sitting there talking to this dude. I was probably like 17 at the time. And he's like, he's like, this is how I would steal this. And I go, well, why the fuck would you do it that way? I was like, you want that? Don't you fucking put it in your pocket. put it on, take the display model, right? Put that in the back stock room. Keep marking it down. The more, like, after a few months, it'll get marked down as, you know, $200. Then you buy it for $1,000 audio system for $200. And then, you know, you have a receipt and you never go to get in trouble.
Right.
Guy goes, oh. 3 weeks later, or 4 weeks, I don't know how long the time, puts a $100 bill in my hand. And he goes, thanks for that Bose system. And I went, what? I didn't realize he was being serious. I thought we were just doing fantasy theft. And then I became like this.
And he got one for almost nothing because it was like, that's what it was down to. And they would have sold out, but they didn't because he hid this one.
Yeah.
That's, wow, smart.
Yeah. And so like, I was like really good at figuring out these loopholes on stealing.
That's a thing that employees always know. So we had at the Comedy Store where it's like we had a system of checks and balances.
Yeah.
If I'm working the cover booth, I ring someone up for the ticket. You're the door guy.
Yeah.
I have to... So somebody pays, a customer pays,
yeah.
And then I'm like, okay, here's your ticket. Give this to the door guy.
Yeah.
They give that to you. You look at it to see what it says. It should say 20 times 2 for 2 tickets.
Mm-hmm.
You tear it a little bit, and then you bring it to your seat and put it on the seat. And then the waitress comes and takes that ticket and says, okay, the door guy has checked the cover booth guy's stuff. This is a half-torn ticket. This means it's good.
Mm-hmm.
If it says comped, you'd be like, why was this comp? You're like, oh, it's Miles Giovanni's friends. He put them on the list. Okay. Or it is what we had for a while when we were doing badly was the hotels around the area. We would tell them like, hey, if you send people our way, we'll give you some money.
Yeah.
And so they're like, hotel comp.
Uh-huh.
Let people know they can come in for free.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So that's a system of checks and balances. Until you realize door guys and the cover booth guys are friends.
Yeah. So, of course.
Yeah. So it would just be like, we would take $40, ring it up as comps. Here's your 20. Here's my 20. Go tear this and put it on the chair.
Yeah.
And then you're like, it's like, it doesn't work that way when people are smart and want free things.
And I hate to say it, but also it's like, I don't know, a lot of those comedy clubs were getting comps too. They're paying door guys almost nothing. It's like,
you're incentivizing them to steal.
Give them a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, don't go crazy. But, you know, bars tend to work that in. It's like, we know the bartender is stealing a little bit of beer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
they allow you to give free shots out here or there.
Yeah. It's like, if you're just like, okay, don't be a fucking monster. But also, like,
don't go home with a fucking, you know, keg.
Yeah. We know you don't have insurance.
Yeah.
Here's an extra $50 of fucking, you figured it out.
Yeah.
You can treat yourself. You know what I mean? I don't give a shit. Yeah, man. We went in there was this one guy. This is my favorite.
Yeah.
This is one dude who he didn't work with. Oh, I mean, he would work with me. He was the one straight-laced black guy who, like, he was just, I'm just giving you a visual of what he looked like. Very nerdy, great guy. He was the one guy we knew wasn't stealing.
Yeah.
One day, security comes up, brings him out in handcuffs. We go, what the fuck happened? What did he do? I find out later he had this. So you can pay your Discover card at Sears. So we were all stealing stereos.
Yeah.
What he did was, now you have to follow the math on this, he would do a return for an item that doesn't exist. Right? So now money is supposed to leave the register, right?
And nothing's coming back into the stock.
Nothing's coming back in stock because he would mark it down to almost nothing and then sell it for $3. So we had the ability to mark shit down at the time, right?
Oh.
So now money, now the register is over, right?
Yeah.
He would take the over money and pay his Discover card. So now that money is going into his Discover card. He bought an Infiniti Q35 on his Discover card.
A car?
The only man I've ever met in my life who stole a car from Sears.
What?
And we found out later they couldn't even figure out what he did.
Like, all these receipts make sense.
Like, everything made sense. They knew he was doing something. They fired him on, it was fucking call-outs.
What?
But they walked him out in handcuffs as a sign, fired him on some trumped-up bullshit. Dude, it was one of my favorite scams of all time.
Wow.
I mean,
that's
those
a good one.
It's a little loose on how exactly that worked, but that's essentially the scam.
Wow.
Yeah. He stole a $30,000 to $40,000 car from Sears. Sears doesn't sell cars. That, my man, is the best thief I'd ever met. How the fuck did you do that?
Renazizi paid his rent on that money from the cover booth.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's not a car. That's great.
Yeah. Oh, man. I love a scam. Oh, fucking love one.
Yeah. I remember this expose on stuff they were doing where these people were like worked at like Ralph's or like some supermarket, Key Foods, you know? And they're ringing up their friends for... They move the decimal point 2 over.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I'll get all these groceries. Like, your bill's $147. You know, $1.47 instead of $147. and then, you know, they could either return it or not. It doesn't matter. But, like, either way, it's stolen.
What was the move? I used to rollerblade. I used to be poor.
Of course you did.
I walked. The move was I did this once to Sports Authority. go into Sports Authority, grabbed a pair of rollerblades, walked them up to the register to return them. I said, hey, I want to return these. And the guy goes, you have a receipt? And I went, no, I don't have a fucking receipt. I fucking lost my receipt. Right? And the guy's like, well, you can't return it with a receipt. And I went, all right, fuck it. I'll take them then. And I walk home with them.
Wow.
Yeah. It was all confidence.
That's good.
Yeah. You just walk up and go return it. They wouldn't return it. Okay, now I got free rollerblades.
Wow. Diaz used to have a scam. He said, like, and this is back in the day, you know, it's tougher and tougher.
Yeah.
But like, he said between Christmas and New Year's, he made his whole year's living. He made 6 months worth of life because he would go to a store. He would scout it out first.
Yeah.
And he would go, he want a low volume, high expense item.
Sure. iPod, some bullshit, but before that time. Yeah.
And or a blanket, even something like that, whatever it was, but he would scout out what colors they're out of. And then he would go into the store, pick up a blue one, take it right over to the returns,
mm-hmm.
and say, hey, I got this as a gift. I already have a blanket this color. Do you have any pink? And
yeah.
they're like, no, we're out. He goes, ah, fuck. All right, I'll take store credit, I guess.
Yeah.
And then he would buy, so it's $100 store credit, buy something for $7, get the rest in cash.
Yep.
And then that's it.
Yeah, you have to find out what they're going to give you cash for. Like, it's like they give cash under like a certain amount of money.
Yeah.
And then you just do it for that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. And it's just you're fucking working the system. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of a really... Oh, this is my old cheeseburger scam. This is the worst. This is the dumbest thing in the world. I go to Shake Shack. And this is also... some answers will be answered. Shake Shack. I go, hey, can I have two cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
Right? They give you two cheeseburgers. And they give them to you and you just go, I'm sorry. I ordered a double cheeseburger. Right? And then they would go, oh. And I go, well, don't throw them out. I'll give them to a homeless person. Now I got... the equivalent of four cheeseburgers,
yeah.
and now I'm fat.
Oh, I was gonna like, so what'd you do with it? Oh, you ate them.
I would eat them. I just eat them. Yeah. God.
We did that at Mardi Gras. My friends did anyway, where they go to a Fat Burger and you order and then you go down, wait in line. And they would just like, not always mobbed, you know, and just stand there for like a while until they started noticing you.
Yeah.
And then just go like, hey, where's that cheeseburger? And like, what? I'm like, yeah, just some normal item. They're all normal items. Cheeseburger, double cheeseburger, whatever. And it's like, what'd you have? I'm like, this. And they're like, ah, fucking... hold on, I'll make another one.
Yeah, yeah.
Someone must have taken it, and then here you go.
Done.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yeah.
Also, this is not a scam so much as when I was a waiter, people always think how to fuck with their people who would come in. The best way to fuck with them is I would do a move where I had a guy come in. He was his family was nice. He didn't tip me last time. He was running me around. He was a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. We're going to abuse him.
Instead of spitting in his food, instead of doing anything to get you fired.
He's too hacky.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you just ring in the wrong food every single time. So he wanted a cheeseburger, right? Oh, here's your Cobb salad. Oh, you didn't order a Cobb salad?
I wanted it.
I'm sorry,
I'll change it right now.
Let me change it.
You will wait another 20 minutes.
Yeah, now here's chicken fingers. I said the burger. Oh, my God, I'm sorry, having an off day. Here's your soup. And just made this guy livid way possible. His family ate. I knew he wasn't going to tip me anyway. Fuck him.
Right.
That's the best way to get
people.
That's
a good one.
Because you can't fire me for that shit.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Just fuck them up. Just.
Yeah. Also, then the food runner sometimes is like, here's your friend. Like, I was rung up as this. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's good.
That was my favorite. Get them for a little something. It's those fucking needles. That's the best way. Death of 1,000 cuts.
We used to, when I delivered pizzas for Domino's, we would like know who the worst tippers are.
Yeah.
And then just like, we're not in any rush. And so you'd have like 3 or 4 deliveries. Some people would do the spitting on the food or really like be a dick. I'm like, yeah, it's just too much for me. We would just like make sure they were last in the delivery run.
Yeah.
We could drive right by their apartment,
every
other one, and like, here's your cold pizza.
Yeah. You know, the problem with spitting in people's food is they don't know you're spitting in it.
And it's not that big a deal, really.
It's not big of
if
a
you
deal.
Don't
Who
know,
cares?
You haven't done anything to them.
Yeah, you want them to suffer.
Yeah.
And I want you to know I did this. I want to look in your eyes as your family eats and you're starving. Fuck you.
Was it Scott Tenenbaum? No, what was it? In South Park? Cartman served that guy his parents.
Oh, I don't know. I love South Park. I just never watch it.
It was one of the early ones, like year 7, 8, 9, when Cartman got really... what's his name? Tenenbaum? Yeah, he just had this elaborate revenge thing where he like killed his parents, barbecued them, as Scott made him barbecue for him. So it was just like, I got to go watch that one again. Okay, let's get back to the ER a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Did you ever see anybody fucking in there?
People fucking?
Yeah.
No, but we got post-fucking. So we would get objects in the body.
Oh, you did?
Yes, constantly.
Oh, those X-rays are fun.
Yeah, that was, I used to do it. It's like an old bit, but for me it was, you know, you'd get dildo, you get cucumber. None of those matter.
Yeah.
You like the weird things. I had a woman come in with a Doritos bag in her vagina.
In her butt? What is that?
In her vagina. In her vagina.
What?
I don't know.
Doesn't even seem sensual.
The stupid bit we go is like with the guy, like maybe somebody was just like, didn't have a condom, you know? And he was like, fuck it, Cool Ranch, some bullshit. Doritos bag, light bulb.
Light bulb in the ass? Pussy?
Light bulb in the vagina. It was a woman. It's always a guy.
What do you mean it's always a guy?
90% of the time, something stuck in somebody's body is a guy, something up their ass. Sometimes it's a woman. Light bulb was a woman, but it's because women understand the concept of tapering. You want something that tapers. You want something that you can pull out. A man just, he's so fucking, you know, restrained.
Anchor in there. Like,
yeah, it's like, yeah. A woman will buy a dildo. She doesn't care. A guy's like, well, I'm afraid. So then they stick a fucking pencil up their ass, and then it breaks. Yeah. You know, we get a lot of that. I mean, you get a lot of objects in the fucking body sexually.
Damn. Are they embarrassed? Did they
always go, I'm not gay. And I go, no one gives a shit, man. You are going into the OR.
We're just getting the screwdriver out of your ass. I don't care what your sexuality is.
The worst one was a guy had a 12-inch dildo. He shoved it up his ass, and it perforated his colon, and he had to go like to the emergency room. He had to go into the OR like immediately. We had to call people in. It's like, it's all fucked up. They always have the same walk. Like a cowboy walk, they just kind of like saunter in. Also, the one thing I didn't realize, this is like such a weird thing to say, but I was always afraid of like hot chicks coming in and then the having like a boob thing. And then you like, I don't want to get like, it is nice to know that when it's medical, you don't get turned on. Like,
oh.
I was always afraid. It's like, well, I don't want to watch, look, like I have to look at this woman's breast. I don't want to get a hard on. You go, oh no, that doesn't really happen. Like I would see like smoking hot women. And like when you are in that mode of like, we're helping them. You don't get a hard on. It's just
it's
a
like
nice thing to know.
For the Turkish baths.
Yeah?
Women can go topless if they want.
And yeah, yeah,
first
yeah.
Like, what? But it's like, you're so sweaty that you're like,
yeah. Whatever.
It's weird because it looks weird.
Sure.
Same way the guy came in with a beard down to his knees. You'd be like, what?
Yeah, why is
but
that?
Like, it's not
shocking.
Sexual anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Like National Geographic.
Yeah.
You know, it's
those,
like you see
no,
these.
No one jerked off to those.
No, tried.
Obviously, because those women are black.
yeah. No, I'm trying to think. It's like, yeah, like the sexual stuff wasn't. We wouldn't see people really having sex. I didn't do drugs at the time, but we had a kid come in who was just high, and it was fun to see what the doctors how they would handle that.
Yeah,
like one doctor, she'd be like, "This is why you don't do drugs," and you see these people like freaking out. But then I had my friend doctor, this guy Malik. He was the best. Kid comes in because he was right next to William Patterson. He was stoned. Malik goes, "Here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna sit here for an hour. I'm gonna go to the vending machine. I'm gonna get you some snacks. You're gonna watch some TV. You're gonna relax." You know, it was whatever. And then the kid went home. But, like, he was just like, yeah, you're high. You're freaking out.
Oh.
You sit down. Yeah, we're going to wait you out. You're going to enjoy yourself. I'm not going to ruin your life because you smoked pot in college. You know? It's like, what the fuck?
Don Barris had a his comic in L.A. had eaten the proper dose of pot popcorn from a store. Coming soon, New York. And then ate the rest. Fell asleep. Woke up, forgot about eating all that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Just panic attack. Like, what's wrong with me?
Oh.
And went to the hospital, started breathing heavy because, like, what the fuck? Getting more and more nervous.
Yeah.
And then the doctor did tests and he goes, it just comes back and sits down. He's like, do you smoke pot, Mr. Barris? And he's like, what? Oh.
Yeah.
He goes, you're just high, man. It'll be gone in an hour or two.
That's what happened to me.
Oh.
I was at a party and this girl had these cookies. And I go, can I have one? And she looks at me and she goes, are you sure?
Yeah, I want a cookie. Look
and
at
I
me.
Went, yeah, fuck you. I thought she was calling me fat.
Yeah.
So then she had three. I ate three of them. Just thinking like, whatever. I was like, oh, this tastes like shit. But I didn't really know. I never had edibles before. Then I start driving. And all of a sudden, the lights start becoming like Star Wars lights. Everything starts.
Oh, that gets hyper-speeding?
Yeah. Everything is slowing down. I thought I was having a stroke. I was like, you got to go to the hospital. You're having a stroke.
Yeah.
I went to the ER. I see my stepmother worked at the ER and I was like, I think I'm having a stroke, blah, blah, blah. And she just goes, you're high. And I was like, what? She was like, what? We started talking. She was like, those cookies, those are pot cookies. Like she put it together and I was like, oh, and I was like, well, what do I do? And she was like, just lay down.
Yeah.
You're fine. But I didn't know how to deal with high at the time.
I have no sympathy for that. My friend David Taylor one of my writing friends will not do any pot stuff. And we sold a show idea to FX a while ago. And I was like, if we get this made to pilot, will you eat a pop cookie or smoke pot. Yeah. I will. We ended up making it a pilot, but like my dream was always, he's very grabby and takey.
Yeah.
My dream was always to leave a couple cookies in front of me and let him grab without telling him and then not tell him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm like, you didn't ask permission. It's on you. I will tell you once you've eaten them. Like, yeah. There's what's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
But no.
Yeah, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
That's fun. What is the difference between like a heavy pot cookie and like a mushroom? That's just my, I don't know, you can probably tell this off the air. I don't know if this is interesting for people, but.
No, it is. It's apples and oranges. They're both fruits, but like.
Like what's the high? I don't understand what a mushroom thing is.
Keep you like locking your seat.
Uh-huh.
Oh, you've never taken mushrooms, but you have taken pot cookies.
Yeah, yeah. I've done every kind of pot.
Okay, so pot cookies will lock you in your seat, make you unable to like concentrate, kind of shake your head, like focus. Almost uh-huh. kind of, it's closer to drunk really.
Mm-hmm.
Without the nausea.
Mm-hmm.
Put you to sleep for sure. Make you super giggle.
Mm-hmm.
There's overlap on that, the laughing. Pot, the physical effects are a little bit of nausea early on. Mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of nausea in the jumping off stage, which that goes away. It's just mentally, it's completely different. It takes you out of your ego. So like, it destroys ego. So like, you now have no connection to yourself.
What do you
emotionally
mean, ego? Do you mean like my confidence
the
in myself?
Id, no, the id and the ego.
Yeah, yeah.
So you don't relate the world through yourself. You still know you're yourself.
Yeah.
But like, so like, you know how in this Me Too stuff or in like white privilege shit like that, people just want it. They keep looking for videos that will of experts that will back up their own
yes,
point of view.
Sure. Yeah. Okay.
When you find one that doesn't, you're like, this guy's an idiot. Oh, look at this. He's a fucking PhD. He gets my side. It's like, but you've ignored this other PhD.
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
It's not like you just say that guy's an idiot and this guy's smart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's only because they take your point of view. The mushrooms don't give you any relation to yourself.
Uh-huh.
So you just analyze these two professors. It's like, who looks like they're telling the truth? Uh-huh. That's what Nietzsche said about the problem with philosophers of his time, is that they would, these philosophers would have an idea and then try to prove it.
Uh-huh.
Instead of going, let me just try to see what's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the one I used for an example is, let's say they were like, homosexuality is wrong. Mm-hmm. Or it's right, whatever they say. But
sure.
Let's say wrong. Then they would go and look for reasons why it's wrong. Well, you can't sustain the human race if everyone's gay.
Mm-hmm.
It's against God because it says in this scripture.
Sure.
So you find out reasons why it's wrong and ignore some of the reasons why it's right because you have a bias.
Mm-hmm.
And he said what you should do is just go, is gay right or wrong? I don't give a shit either way because it doesn't affect me.
Step outside.
Let's see all the different things. And you might, what you'd probably come to if you were completely open is like, doesn't affect you one way or the other. There is no right or wrong on gay.
Yeah.
It's just some people are and some people aren't. And
yeah.
Here's the percent. It's about 10%. That's what we've found.
Yeah.
You know? So it does like that where it's now like you can see yourself, but you don't care about yourself. Not to a point
I
of
love
self-harm.
That.
Yeah. So if you're looking at yourself, you're like, that Greg Stone guy is overweight.
Yeah.
And overweight people live less.
Yeah.
And so then a little bit to yourself goes, oh, I'm that Greg Stone. Oh, yeah. I don't want to be overweight. I should lose weight because I don't want to die early.
Yeah.
You know, you can relate it back to yourself later, but only through like mental, but not through like a siding with yourself.
Sure.
You won't be like, no, that's not that. I'm not that fat.
It's logical. Like, it's more logical.
It's like in my range, it should be between 160 and 182.
Yeah.
I'm 197, which means I am above that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the studies have shown that above that means I'm open to cancers and heart disease. So I'm open to heart disease. And then again, fix it or don't, but whatever. Sure. Same thing where it's like, oh, these people, these heroin addicts just caught a different drug than I did.
Yeah.
They're not better or worse than me. They just got unlucky.
Just so you know, I am on Weight Watchers, and I lost 7 pounds.
Did you? But you're doing the points?
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, great.
It's fucking great.
I think that's the best one.
Yeah. It's.
So that's what it does.
Yeah.
It also makes everything hilarious.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There are moments where you might start seeing, like, you go down a little, like, a rabbit hole of, like Fahim starts thinking about death
mm-hmm.
and how his parents were going to die, and then he started spiraling down to, like, oh, everybody dies. Oh, that's fucking bad. And then 30 minutes later, we were spitting up drinks as we were laughing about a Magritte painting or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude,
if you ever want to do it, I would do it. I would love to do it with you. I don't know if that's a weird thing, but
yeah,
you'd be a good
Christina
Sherpa.
Says that too. That's the problem. The problem is that like I enjoy doing them, and I don't want to I don't want to watch people. I don't want to like be in charge of taking care of everybody.
Okay.
So I don't mind, like at Bonnaroo one year, I made sure to get him for everybody.
Yeah.
But I'm like, well, here's my group, the one that I'm best friends with.
And then
Michelle, I'm like, you weren't really in my group of friends at the time. So I was like, here's mushrooms.
Yeah.
She took them and fucked off.
Yeah.
And she had a great time.
Sure.
Because I'm not going to give it to you in an unsafe situation.
Yeah.
But I don't want to watch you the whole time either.
No. Yeah, I don't.
Yeah. And so I feel like when I take him with people who have never taken him before, they look at me as like,
you
need to run everything. And I'm like, I might wander away.
Sure.
I don't want to be doing that. I probably could do one where I could take a bunch of new comics and be like, I'm not going to do them. I'll just watch you guys.
Yeah.
Make sure everybody's safe.
I've done enough like edibles that I think I'm like, I'm okay with finding reality.
Yeah.
But I also just like to do it around fun people who know where they've been, like who are like not freaking out. Like I don't want to do it with somebody who hasn't done it because then I'm like, neither of us have a...
Right. My first time was someone who had done it once before. Definitely was not an expert.
Yeah.
And we were both like overwhelmed by what was happening. But I mean, the fun and the adventure.
Sure. Because
we didn't know what was happening. I will tell you, no matter what you think is going on in your brain, no one ever overdoses.
Yeah.
So you have to tell yourself, like, when I was sober, I knew for a fact no one ever overdoses. So I'm not overdosing. My heart's not stopping. This is the drug fucking with me. I am going to be fine because sober me looked at the actual stats with trusted Ari. Ari's not lying to me.
Yeah.
That this won't be bad.
Yeah.
So keep going. You're okay.
I wrote on my hand the first when I had like this guy was like, yo, man, these cookies are fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. I wrote on my hand as I started to get higher, you did this for fun. And so the higher I kept going, I was going, I was freaking out. I was like, no. You did this for fun. Enjoy the fun. And it was like, okay. And it would bring me back. And I was like, you did this for fun.
I did some Molly in Vegas. And I started feeling the same thing. Like, I'm going to overdose. This is bad. You know, I'm sweating.
Like,
what if I got bad shit? And then I just texted myself, ratting on the guy who sold them to me. I was like, so if they found my phone, like Sandy Danto sold me this Molly.
Yeah.
Yeah, a full comic. And that's I was like, great. I'm telling on you, man. I don't want you doing that to everything. You got to pay.
Well, that's what happened. I got a little. The one thing that freaked me out is that when when Kevin Barnett passed away.
You knew him?
Yeah.
Man, I didn't even know that guy.
Oh,
everyone was close to him. I didn't know him. But
we weren't super close. We were closer when we kind of came up together a little bit. And he was great. And he took me up with a bunch of things. He was a great guy. But I'm not sure. Like they were thinking maybe it was possibly a bad model.
Yeah, I heard that.
I don't know if that's what happened. I think
they came off that reason.
Oh, okay. So I wasn't. I thought that happened when I took this crazy edible someone gave me at a fucking party, and then all of a sudden I started getting in my head as like, well, what if this is a bad thing? What if you just stop breathing? And then I had to go, you worked in an ER, you know what pot is.
Yeah.
You know, no one
pot doesn't do that.
Pot doesn't do that. You have the facts.
Yeah.
Stop it. And then you just go, all right, cool. You know?
I love when sometimes the next day after you smoke, you're gonna smoke a joint in a group, and one of your friends, I'm picturing Brian Redband because he did this.
Yeah.
Not the only one. But he goes, dude, that was fucking pot. Somebody laced that shit, man.
Yeah.
And I was like, you think so? I was like, yeah, man. I, the reaction I had was like, it was too much. They did something to it. And it's like, okay, that works as a theory, but let's test it a little bit.
Sure.
You smoked in a circle with four other people who were fine. So, yeah, sure. It's possible you got laced. Or is another possibility? Can I just suggest a possibility? You can't handle your shit? I'm like, no. I'm like, you don't want to accept that. But come on, man. We all smoked. Well, just your little portion was laced?
Yeah.
Come on.
That's great.
Yeah.
Also, enjoy the fact that you can't handle your shit because it's more fun because you're getting higher than everybody.
It's way more fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, the problem I have now with mushrooms is my range is so wide now. Before it was like half an eighth was like I'm on the moon. Now half an eighth might not even hit me or might put me on the moon.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to do an eighth or more, like 3 or 4 grams or 5 grams. And then that might be like a massive amount.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just guessing game.
How much should I take?
2 grams.
2 grams? Okay.
Yeah. If you get an eighth, yeah, you could split that with somebody.
Okay.
But if you get an eighth, get a little more and then split it with somebody.
Okay.
An eighth is like 3.57, I think, grams.
Okay.
They're not the same unit of measurement.
Okay.
An eighth of an ounces and grams are like different, you know.
I'm just going to listen to this again later so that I can write down what you said because it's nothing. None of it's registering. But it sounds great. But I'll listen to this.
2 grams.
And I'll write it down.
2 grams. But also, if somebody gives you – you definitely don't want to take too little because then it's not going to hit you.
And that's a waste.
Right.
And what I fucking do.
If you want to go for 2 and you end up taking 3, you're just going to have – it's just going to blast you off a little more. It won't hurt you at all.
I like a blast off.
So like there's almost no difference between 2 and 3, but the difference between 1 and 2 is massive in terms of like – and I just sort of have a feeling of it.
Yeah.
So like – so when me and Pete did him the first time, that time that he had done it once before, we split up what my friend who cultivated them told us, and then we're like, well, let's pull one more cap into each of these.
Yeah.
We got to make sure.
Yeah.
You want to make sure.
I don't want to waste scared my time. Of it. Yeah.
People will tell you they can take more later. Fuck them. Blast off is the thing.
The first time I ever ate a pot brownie, everyone around me was eating them. I wasn't getting high. And my friend goes, oh, it's because you're big. You got to take more. I ate six.
Oh.
And it was at a point where I was like, oh, I think I forgot how to drink water. I didn't know what I was anymore. I was like, and then we walk outside. I had to go home. And the girl was like, you have to leave. And I'm like, I can't leave. She's walking me home. We walk outside. It's 3 a.m. Some guy is outside doing Tai Chi. And it was like, why the fuck is this guy here? Wow. He was doing crazy Tai Chi. And I just started crying. I started crying, laughing. And I was just crying. I was like, I don't know what I am. I don't know what I was. I don't know where we're going. It was wild, but it was awesome. Like, looking back,
dude, right. When you take those drugs, it's I don't believe in this like universe kind of thing that these hippies believe in, you know?
What do you mean?
The universe looks out for you, or we're all connected. Yeah, no. If you're taking much, whatever. I just think everyone has the same experience. I'm like, everyone has the same experience on aspirin.
Sure.
Lack of pain. Like, it doesn't mean it's the fucking, you know, spiritual world.
Although I do love the idea. I love when I'm stoned and I'm talking to someone who's equally stoned and we're both saying crazy shit, but we're connecting.
Yeah.
It's like we're speaking another language.
Level. Absolutely.
What are they talking about? But it's like, nah, man.
And you ever see, like, and then we, And then we,
yeah. I had this moment, and I had it with Anthony. We were super high at the Comedy Cellar party, and I just look over my, Nimesh and Jared, I just walk over, step over there, I go, Anthony, I go, hey, man, I got to tell you something. He's like, what? I go, I think Bruce Wayne is Batman. Right, he starts dying. No one else understands what I'm talking about. But we were on this level of like, yeah, in Gotham somewhere, there's probably some guy who goes, I think fucking Bruce Wayne's Batman, and everyone was like, "That's good." Like,
shut up.
But it was this other level of like, there was like an A. It was A to C
about that.
Or A to D that nobody was.
You
like,
hadn't done the setup yet.
There was no setup,
but he knew the setup was.
But he knew the setup, and so we were connecting, and everyone else is looking at us like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
That's hilarious.
But I'm just like, "No, man." And then like we just had this like fun like riff that we just kind of jumped the fucking shark.
Oh, it's such good.
Not
laughs.
The shark. We just jumped over.
Yeah,
but
it's such good laughs on that shit,
dude. You should volunteer at an ER.
To do what?
You can just bring people to X-ray, bring them back. It's all very easy, dumb bullshit,
really?
And it is
and you get to see stuff.
It's a life-changing experience.
Oh.
It will open you up to empathy and like just understanding where people are coming from more than. I mean, I was mad at myself because I started comedy in 2001, and I was too scared to really make a move. My mom got me this job in the hospital, and I didn't become who I was until I worked there. Because to see people in real pain, to see people in real suffering, to see people in real joy, birth. You see, I saw a person die and a person being born in the same hour. And it was like someone left, someone
same
got
guy,
here.
You think?
Same guy. No, no, but like this ER had 10 people in it. One died. There's still 10 people in it.
Wow.
It's like this weird shit. And it's, but it really opens
the circle
you up.
Of life.
Dude, it is real. It's fucking, it's wild.
Wow.
You see someone who's in real pain, then you start to like go, okay, you're like, all right, like I haven't done a lot of traveling, but that was my kind of experience with
whoa.
With life, you know.
Okay. Damn,
I mean,
it's tough,
yeah, but it's great,
but it's cool too, because you also you're not connected to either one of them.
You're enough that you can be removed, and you also as a volunteer you don't have to put yourself into the heavy shit. So like,
oh really?
Yeah, as a volunteer, they're not going to act like with my job. I did. We had a patient who he had his jaw. Someone hit him in the face with a baseball bat. His jaw was broken right down the center, and his teeth were like crisscross, like it was fucked up. Ugh. And teeth freak me out. That's the one thing. Teeth freak me out. And I was like, I don't want to go in there. And the ER doctor, me, goes, if you don't go in there, who's going to go in there? And it was this moment of like, oh shit! Like, if I don't go in there. He doesn't get
no one else is taking care of it.
No one else is taking care of him. But as a volunteer, you're kind of just cleaning off stretchers. You're bringing people like Jell-O. These are mostly all people who can talk. And it is a very fun way and like easy way to help people who need help immediately. They need help today. They need someone to be like, hey, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They need someone who be like, here's a pillow. Here, you know, whatever. And it,
can you just go in there and say like, put me to work? Or do they check you? And
a lot
and
of checks.
Come back tomorrow.
I think there's like a lot of checks because they don't want people who are stealing drugs. That's why I'm here, baby. That should always be, that'll always be funny. Farting into a microphone? I don't give a shit. That's how we're going to bond with aliens.
Dude, I've done it at the Stand so many times. I've done it at the Cellar once, I think. It's just like people in the audience are like, what the fuck are you? What is this?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I'm not mature.
Worst joke I ever did. I'm at the Cellar, and I should not have told this joke. But I was, you know, when you're just in the pocket, yeah. and you're like, I can do no wrong. Yeah. Somehow we're talking about the World Trade Center, and I had this joke that I said a long time ago. It's a bad joke, but I would go up to parties drunk, and I would just whisper to people's ears, 9/11, it wasn't an inside job. It was a great job. It's my favorite. Now, I don't think it was a great job, but that's like a really offensive thing to say. Yeah. That's like a hilarious thing that someone would say 9/11 was a great job. I'm on the Cellar. I'm doing in the middle of my set, having a great time. I go, man, I was drunk one time. I said this. The crowd fucking came to a halt. They were just like, what are you doing? And like, that's where I don't understand how people don't like. Maybe it's just not a funny enough joke, but it's like, how do you guys not see?
That you're joking?
That I'm joking. We didn't build trust. You think I'm just a guy who thinks 9/11 was a good job? Come on. What the fuck's wrong with you people?
It could always be though, like, it's just not funny.
Yes. And that, you know
but
what?
It could be like, I was surprised. I didn't see that coming, so that was funny.
Yeah. It also could not have worked, but I just saw people going like, and that's the thing. You don't know. It's like, well, maybe just a dumb joke, but I think it's funny. But how are we not, how do you not see what I see?
I love when people get like offended and they're like, but it's not funny. I'm like, okay, maybe, but let me test the theory again. I love testing the theory.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
Are there other jokes that you don't find funny?
Mm-hmm.
And they'll usually be like, well, yeah, tons of jokes aren't funny. I'm like, all right, look. What's an innocuous joke that's not offensive that you don't find funny? And then maybe they'll tell you one. It's like, okay, how did you react when that took place? Did you scream at the comic?
Yeah.
Did you like write blogs because mm-hmm. it wasn't funny?
Mm-hmm.
Or did you just ignore it?
Yeah.
It's not the unfunniness. It's the offensiveness.
Yeah.
So just stick to that. You were offended, which I think is fine for you to be.
Yeah. If you bring me a steak with mashed potatoes and mushrooms, I'm not going to take the mushrooms and throw them at the waiter. I'm just not going to eat them.
Right.
It's fine. Yeah, just don't eat it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just push it to the side. But if I put it in my mouth and it's gross, then I'm going to be mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like now I'm offended.
Yeah.
Now that you've been offended, what has changed?
Yeah.
How has your life changed? How are you walking out of here different? You are the same.
Still my favorite was Bennington. Somebody called in. Some caller was like, hey, you haven't been funny all day. It's been an hour already. And she goes, so? Fucking perfect response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry.
What else you see there at the ER? Like what?
Oh man! I mean, like, I mean, for me, it was like the drugs, the drug addicts was like a big opener for me.
Yeah,
the pedophile
thing.
Had
you seen that world?
What
drug addicts, drugs like that? Like
I
never really was around drugs like that until
I had only seen it through the eyes of like I had that friend whose parents like growing up around heroin.
Yeah,
but that to me, I thought they were all pieces of shit. Who made bad decisions because they were irresponsible and lazy.
Now you're opening the eyes.
And then in the ER, it was like, oh, no, I learned empathy for these people there. A hospice was wild, man. Just walk into a hospice fucking floor.
Oh, they have a floor.
There's a floor.
For hospice?
Yeah. All the nurses.
Hospice is when people, like, they're on the way out. They're just, like, taking care of them on the way out.
On the way out, just get them high, get them going. The whole vibe up there is weird.
Why?
And different.
Like what?
The nurses, ER nurses.
You're not saving anybody.
They're not saving anybody.
They're all going to die. That's part of the deal.
Yep. They're not saving anybody. ER nurses are extreme. Get in there. We're doing this. We're fighting for our lives. Hospice nurses are, how are you? Okay. We're going to sit down and here's some tissues. They deal with people at the worst part of their lives every day of the rest of their life. Every day.
That was tough too because like you see these people out. You're like, wow, I saw them out into like the next life or whatever, the next world. And you're like, that was done. It's like, hey, there's three more.
Yeah. Today. I have six today. You know, four.
And you just keep shifting like.
And sometimes they're there for a month. Sometimes they're there for 4 weeks. So you're seeing this person on their way out for that long. And now imagine what kind of person you have to be. If you dealt with someone in hospice once in your life, mm-hmm. you're going to remember forever. That's probably the worst part of your life, probably something like that. Imagine that's your job every single day.
Right.
That kind of emotional tax, you got to step aside.
You got to drink hard. You gotta drink hard.
Or you're just like a beautiful person who understands what it is and goes, here's what I can do to help you out. I can fucking, you know, what's that old Greek thing of like the Valkyries that would bring them to Valhalla. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's what you are.
Oh.
I'm holding your hand as you go to the next part.
Wow.
Beautiful. beautiful people.
That's what I never liked about.
Hard to talk to.
ER shows, hard to talk to.
Yeah, because they're fucking weirdos.
Yeah.
But they're like wonderful, amazingly spiritual, beautiful like, people.
Too nice.
Yeah, it's like, get out of here. They bring their guitars to work. It's like, get the fuck out of here.
How many roads must I mend? In ER shows, like ER or whatever,
Chicago Hope
or whatever, it's always the one I never got. I've asked doctors about it. Where they try to save somebody who comes in of gunshot wounds, and they're like, I couldn't save them.
Doesn't happen.
They have these right, because they lose people
three times
a week.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it can't affect you after a year.
How big is your ego?
You just have to try. Like,
yeah.
If it was your dad that you thought you had a chance to save or someone you knew.
And you're not working on them.
I get it. Right, right. They won't let you, right?
Yeah.
So then it's like, it's not real, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you're like this ego surgeon who's like, I do it all. Maybe they're like crazy because those guys are like fucking extreme junkies.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You know when someone comes in, you know for the most part whether or not they're going to live or die. You go, these are the things we're going to do. I've seen this a billion times. Yeah. This is what we're doing. Now, there are some cases that are rare and weird and you don't see, and you kind of have to call in people to get different things, and maybe it's interesting and fun to you. But like, if someone comes in with a gunshot wound, you know, from my experience, I don't know, I'm not a doctor. You have to understand, I'm not a doctor. You probably know it's like, oh, I know which way this is going to go. I mean, like, for the most part, there's like a 10% of like, you're shot in the fucking chest.
Yeah.
We're going to do our best, but we kind of know how the outcomes are going to go on this. Also, you don't know those people. You're doing it every day.
Do you think they had to make decisions? Like, if a four-car pileup comes in, they had to make decisions like, we're probably not going to save this one, or we're less likely to, so let's try to save these three because we don't have time to do both.
Well, that's World War II shit where they're like, you're bleeding out. We know you're dead. I got to go to the guys who can do it. I worked in a community hospital,
So
it's like we didn't really even have trauma. If we had trauma come in, it was because the fucking ambulance driver was too scared to bring them to the right hospital, so they would bring us to here, and we'd have to like – that was when it would get crazy because they're not supposed to come to us. We were like – whatever, but we have the training, so you have to stabilize them and then bring them to the bigger hospital. We didn't have a lot of that. We mostly dealt with, I mean, you know, on a much lower extent, you'd be like, well, you have a cold, so you're not going in a room. You're going to be in the hallway. You have something that could get other people sick. You go in a room. You're a baby. You're going to be crying. We don't want you outside. It's going to drive everybody else crazy. Like, so there is that kind of. And the triage nurses are pretty much doing a lot of that of like, it's a 6 hour. When I was there, 6 hour waits were normal.
Damn.
You know, it's like they're waiting for 6 fucking hours. Like, we were a small hospital. If we would get jammed, it was like,
you're
jammed. There's not enough rooms. There's not enough nurses. There's nothing we can do. So the triage nurses would go through and be like, this guy's potential heart attack. Get him an EKG. If he's not having an heart attack, great. You're going to sit for 4 fucking hours because you just had anxiety. I'm sorry you did. But guess what? We got other ambulances coming in of shit that we got to handle first.
What were the customers like?
The patients, I guess.
See my father, he's doing that. Like, were they?
That's all I dealt with.
The people who were like not sick.
Yes.
Who were like
the worst.
On behalf of their loved ones.
Yes. There's racism in the ER that is absolutely true of shit of like, Germans are stoic. Right?
They'll just sit there.
They'll sit there. You see a German sitting there. If they're like culturally German or whatever, there's a good chance you give them an EKG because that guy could be having a heart attack. Puerto Ricans, oh, they're screaming and they're having a great, they're like, ah, mommy, they're screaming. And it's like, you know, Hispanic people do that. You know, with them, it's like, okay, you still give them an EKG, but you understand that when people would come in screaming, as when I first started, I used to go, we got to get them quick. And then people would be like, no.
They're Puerto Rican.
They're Puerto Rican. That's what they do. Like, that's part of their culture, is they're more verbal, you know? So you have to kind of, you do have, and they would teach that in, I don't know if they still do, but they would teach that in fucking schools. They'd be like, yes, culturally, these people will react. Asian people were a little less. It was like, so you had
to
like.
It's so funny how you can. Like, I like, racism's terrible, but I like the observed racism because it's not based on your father teaching you to be an awful person. It's just like waiters and waitresses.
Yeah.
They don't like serving black people because black people don't tip.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't. No one told them that. They've observed it, which means it's true.
Sure.
You know, it's not just like, 2 didn't tip, but 20 did. It's like, no, this happens enough where they're more likely to not tip.
Now, to that,
Sure,
you can make that observation. As though I worked at the worst TGI Fridays in the country. It was rated the worst. We were the worst. We were the worst. I would still treat you the same.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's like, I still give you the same service. And I had a guy, this is like a moment I had, black guy, dreads, looked, you know, looked like a thug or whatever the fuck, I don't know what the right word is, whatever. I sit down, he's a very nice guy. Give him his food. I bought all his food, fucking ran. Tips me $100. And I go, dude, you gave me the wrong bill. You shouldn't have given me. And he goes, every time I come, people give me shitty service because they think I'm poor. They think I'm shitty because black people, you know, there's black people don't tip. He's like, you're the first guy to fucking treat me right. Every time I come here, I'm asking for you. Oh. Turns out he was a guy who owned a haircut place, was extremely successful. But he just liked to dress the way he dressed. He was the way he was. He was a super sweet guy, but consistently got bad. So there is this thing of like, yes, a lot of black people aren't tipping, but then also a lot of black people are continuing not to tip because now they're getting bad service.
True.
Because
and that's the thing with stereotypes too. It's not true across the board.
Sure.
It's just the needle is a little more that way.
But then the stereotype feeds the stereotype.
Yeah, true, true.
As a fucking Italian, I like to be like, hey, get this fucking guy out of here. You know, like I like to do that because I've seen other people do it. It's a very easy personality to just take.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, well, I could just do that instead of having to create my own self.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the ER with the race shit, it was like, yeah, it was real. And you had to act. If you didn't give, if someone came in and they're not screaming and they're like the old school German, it's like, if you don't give them an EKG, they're going to die.
They're fucked.
Yeah. So like some of that stuff does help, but it's okay. And you just make sure you're not. We also, sorry, this is just this other weird thing. Personality traits of doctors was wild, right? So we had this one Italian doctor, super smooth, great fucking bedside manner, never got sued, fucked up just as much as everybody else.
Yeah.
We had this other guy, little guy, 5'2", looked like Danny DeVito, always greasy, always nervous, one of the smartest people I ever met in my life, horrible bedside manner, sued constantly
because they didn't like him.
Because they go, I don't trust this guy.
Wow.
And then you fuck up a little. They're waiting on
they're
it.
On you.
They paired me up with him constantly. People thought I was a doctor. I would walk in with this guy. Like, how you doing? Blah, 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 blah. And, you know, oh, you're having chest pain? And he would go, we're going to give him EKG. We're going to have a, you know, send him for fucking kidney stones or whatever bullshit. And I would tell them they thought I was the doctor. He wouldn't get sued. I was just the fucking charisma guy.
Wow.
For him. Yeah. And he'd just go, tell us, bring us in there. It was wild.
I'm trying to think of other learned racism stuff. I had some in my head, but then I forgot it. I know waiters was like the obvious one.
Yeah, yeah. Waiters was like, that's big, though. Asian, my girlfriend can drive. She's fine. But
yeah, I mean, more like.
It's because their eyes, you know, because they can't open them all the way. No, I'm just kidding.
Man, maybe we're almost done, I think. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, your CD, it's out now.
No, it comes out.
CD?
Yes.
Albums. Yeah, I'm not going to miss it until it's out. The 15th.
Okay. Yeah. Comes out February 14th or 15th. 14th. 15th? Who cares?
It's out now. And it's called The Amazing Greg Stone. Your podcast is what?
The Rad Dude Cast.
The Rad Dude Cast with
Brendan Aaron and Anthony DeVito. That's the thing I'm probably the most proud of.
Your podcast?
Yeah. It's like we have a really good time. Hmm. It's really like fun. It's just we just try to be fucking funny. And
really?
Yeah, we just funny. I like to get weird. I didn't get weird on this podcast at all.
Weird,
like it's just I don't know. What's that kind of sense of humor that's like
Kaufman-y?
Yeah, kind of, you know, whatever. But like, you know, we just do. Our rule in the podcast was no one gets to say no. So if you have an idea, we got to do that idea.
That's cool.
We got to do that idea, and we got to do the best we can at doing that idea. And you know, Anthony, who I've known since high school. We're fucking.
You went to high school together?
We went to high school together. Wow, we did comedy together. He's like my best friend. We
wrote on a fucking Netflix show together.
We did everything together. It's wild. The best thing that you ever have in comedy is a guy who you can just 100% trust.
Do you know?
I owed him $3,000 for 8 years. That's how bad I was doing in comedy for a long time.
You still owe him?
No. The minute I got that writing job, I paid him.
You got my first check.
And I go, yeah, here you go. But he was always like, yeah, don't worry about it. You pay me when it's not going to affect you. That was his thing. He was like, when it's not going to hurt you to pay me back, you pay me back. Yeah. And it was like, and I owed it for like fucking 8 years. And he's like one of the best people in the world. So we have that crazy connection. And then we just team up on Brendan, who's a mental patient who tried to kill himself. We try to bring him back to the crazy house.
You try to put him there.
Just make him crazy all the time.
The feeling of relief you had when you were ready to do it.
Yeah.
What was that like? Good, right? Here's hold on this knife while we talk.
Yeah. We love him, but it's also like, you know, he's crazy.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, thanks for doing it, man.
Dude, this was great.
That was fun.
Yeah, that was. How long did we do?
2 hours, a couple of hours.
Oh, wow.
Nice. 17. Yeah, I might try to volunteer at a hospital. That'd be cool.
Yeah, I kind of want to do it too.
I like the new experiences. Plus, it's not like I'm not obligated. I can just go for a few days and be like, I'm done now.
You go once a month if you want.
Right.
Once a month, you say hello to some people. You bring them some candy. You just sit and talk. Just sitting and talking to these people.
Really?
That was my whole. That was the best. I would just walk into the ER. I would sit down in the chair and I would say the same thing. I go, "What are you the most proud of, dude?" I talked to a guy. My favorite guy in the world was this guy who I told him I was scared about comedy, and he was like, "I was a bomber in World War II. You want to know about fear? You look at a Nazi flag up close. That's fear. Go fucking write your stupid jokes."
You want to be like, "I don't want to know about fear." That's what I was actually saying. You're missing the point. I'm scared of comedy. I don't want to be scared.
Yeah. But like to actually talk to a guy who was in World War II, dude, I just sat. I just like, just go. Just go. Here's a few things to try to give you some ideas to talk about. Tell me about the Nazis.
It's amazing how these people like don't want to share, don't think it's interesting enough till you get it out of them.
Yeah.
My uncle, my aunt's husband,
yeah,
you know, before I was born, he was born in Israel before it was a country. So he didn't survive the Holocaust. He was like at one of the, I think his parents came in 1919 or something like that. He was born in like 1930. And so, or 1935 maybe. So he had all these stories about being like in the rebellion youth where they had to scout out like the King David Hotel and like these places they were going to bomb.
Yeah.
And like warn people, like get out because this bomb's coming. And he's like, never talks about it. Like, tell me about that. I was like, oh, I mean, I guess we like, you know, we found a duck hole and we went in between floors and we like planted these bombs, I guess. And he's like, dude, that's interesting. He's like, oh, yeah, I guess so, if you think about it.
That's a fucking movie that you actually did.
Yeah.
That I can ask you about.
And they just don't mention them.
Yeah.
I was the same way with Israel, where people are like, you live in Israel? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess so. I'm like, no, what? Not I guess so. What?
Yeah.
What you were Orthodox Jew? I'm like, yeah, but we all were. I'm like, well, we all weren't.
We were not. I did not know you were an Orthodox Jew.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was living in Israel for a couple of years, studying in a yeshiva.
Wow. See, that's the thing, right? Usually we go in the cellar, I walk up to you, and I go, hey, how's the weather, whatever bullshit. I just want to be like, yo, man, fucking Orthodox Jew, just do it. Just, do you mind? Do the fucking thing.
Yeah, I like when you can get something out of somebody or when they go through something. Or like what you said with somebody where they were like, I'm done talking about this. You didn't want to bother them about something that happened.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that story with Josh Johnson.
Yeah,
I was like, I'm sure you told him a million times.
At some point, he might be like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll tell you about it. Like, if you really just like, I want to hear about it.
Yeah. Also, comedians like to be on.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, I'm going to give you 10 minutes. Do your thing, dude. I'll sit here and laugh.
Yeah, I heard you have this crazy story. I'm like, okay, here we go.
Yeah.
It's a new, fresh audience.
Dude, promise me you'll put your phone in your pocket, and I'll do the whole thing for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Don't tune out in the middle. All right, I'm done.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. Yeah, that's – but in terms of like that – I mean, I'm doing it all now this hour, but like generally it's like, why don't you talk about that on stage? I'm like – because same thing with Louis. Like, that's not who I am anymore.
Sure.
That's who I was.
Yeah.
Who I am is someone who – get so mad at a cab, you know, blocking the fucking bike lane that I turn their mirrors in, you know, like that's now what I studied the Gemara when I was 19. It's like, that's not me. That was a 25 years ago person.
So let me ask you this question. And I'm sorry, I know you want to,
whatever,
but like, see, I do believe that's me, but I don't try to talk about stage who I am. I just want to go, I only want to talk about what I'm excited to talk about.
Oh,
so it's not who you not are, but it's like, are you just not excited to talk about it anymore? Can you find ways to be excited? Because who you are can now tell that story from a whole new perspective.
Right. Well, that's what I'm doing now as a removed point of view.
Okay.
I'm now going back to it.
Okay.
But also it's like, I was excited for, you know, cookies in kindergarten.
Sure,
but
sure,
like,
sure.
I could put myself in that place. I just don't care enough.
You don't care enough.
But you could also very much care about the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Or about a ref who blew a call towards the Rams against the Saints.
Sure.
But that's not who I am. But I do care about that, you know?
Yeah.
That's what you want to hear from somebody on stage.
Yeah.
What's your passion?
What am I excited about? When I get on stage, I'd always say the same thing to myself. I'd go, I can't wait to tell these people this story. That's what I'd say before I go on. Mm-hmm. So then it put me in that energy of like, well, what am I excited to talk about?
That's
like, can't wait to tell you this.
Segura talked to Burr once. I opened Segura in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
We were about on the same level, but he was in Crackers and I wasn't. He was like, come work with me. It'll be a break-even week and I'm not going to pay for your flight, but they'll put you up. And then you can get in. And I did. It worked. But we were talking then about Bill Burr. This is 10 years ago, man. Maybe around that. And he was like, oh, you have another hour? It was like a second or third hour. He goes, yeah, and I got another one ready after this. It's almost done. And he goes, how do you get that? Like, what do you talk about? And his answer was like, you know, the stuff that gets you going.
Yeah.
If you're in a conversation and you get riled up over something, that's your material.
Yeah.
That stuff is your material.
Yeah.
Not like, should I write a Lewinsky joke?
No.
It's like, no, you don't care.
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah. But if you get really mad about the street sweeping, then that's your bits.
Yes. And it's so much easier to write about shit you're passionate about.
Yeah, and it's like, well, who else cares about that? It doesn't matter if they care. Just that you care.
You'll make them care.
Yeah.
They want. They don't think about, like, if they're thinking about it, they probably have ideas.
Yeah, they just want your passion.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Totally. That's yeah, that's my big rule for comedy. Lean into everything. If you're getting pushed away, you notice yourself, don't fight it. Don't be that other comedian. Be the thing you love.
Yeah. All right. Greg
Sorry.
Stone,
thank you.
The Rad Dude Podcast with Brendan Ayers and Anthony DeVito. Man, I'm good memory today.
Nailed it, baby.
I haven't used this pipe yet. And the amazing Greg Stone. Out right now on iTunes, Spotify.
All of it.
Everywhere you find Greg's a funny comic. You guys should listen to it. You know, you guys listen to the podcast and you like these people. And the reason we have these on is, you know, consider it an advertisement for that. There's not always ads, but consider it an advertisement for that. So if you got to spend your $7, $10, what is it going to be? $10 on iTunes?
Listen to it for free. I just want you to like me.
Spotify.
I don't care.
Take a listen. Yeah, if you're not a guy who buys stuff, then don't buy it. Listen to it on Spotify. But if you are a guy who buys it, fucking buy it. These are the excuses. It's only, at most, it's $10 out of your life. Two coffees.
Oh, it is $10.
$10, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a normal price on iTunes. So... fucking, that's what you spend your money on, supporting the podcast so we can put on a good podcast. Fucking help them out. All right. And then share it with your friends. Pirate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Greg Stone, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, man. This was great.
Yeah. Is the episode that's it, you guys. Ari Shaffir, hypocrite, finished with that podcast. Have you guys ever just lived in your wrongness? God damn, it feels shitty. And then every time it comes up, I'm like, ugh, what the fuck is wrong with me? I know better. That's the worst thing. I know better. Anyway, all right. Well, that's the episode. Thank you very much, Greg Stone. You guys, again, if you want to get Greg Stone, I should press pause for this. Too late. If you want to get Greg Stone's album, it is called The Amazing Greg Stone. Oh, by the way, if you've ever seen Inside the Spider-Verse or whatever, the Spider-Man cartoon movie, it was great. John Mulaney cool. The whole thing was fucking great. What a great fucking movie. I'm going to overhype it. You're not going to like it. But it was one of the better Spider-Mans I've seen in a while. I guess I stopped watching them. Anyway, thank you, Greg Stone. Pick up his album right now at iTunes, The Amazing Greg Stone, or listen to it on Spotify. If you listen on Spotify for free, then here's the deal. You should buy it. You should support Greg. He just finished writing for Michelle's show and now he's got no job. So, if you want to support him, I gave him $100. You should give him 10. I gave him $100 to do this with no sponsor. So I'm not making any money on this. You guys should give him 10, but I get it. Different people are a different dude. You know how hard I'm trying to work to make it so that I can save tickets for poor fans. And also charge a normal amount for people who can afford it. My ideal is to get W-9s for everybody who buys tickets and then charge them based on what I think they can afford. So if you make like under 30 grand, it's like, here's a $14 ticket. 30 to 50 grand a year, here's a $28 ticket. And then, 75 grand or more, it's like, you got to pay $60. Fucking hypocrite. It's the worst thing to be. Anyway, so if you have the money, buy his album on iTunes, The Amazing Greg Stone. If you don't have it, you can listen to it on Spotify. But here's the deal. Here's the compromise. When you're done listening to it, you got to send it to two people. I'm going to say three, but you can bleed down to two. You got to send it to two or three people and say, hey, I found this funny. You should listen to it. And send them the Spotify link. That seems fair, bro. That seems fair. And also... it's going to be a funny... it comes out like in 6-7 hours, so I haven't fucking heard it yet. But it's going to be a funny album, so you're going to enjoy it. All right. That's the episode. This episode is brought to you by East Village Vintage. It's not really, but there's this vintage store that, like, on 12th Street in New York, East Village Vintage. They got cool shit at decent prices. They don't overcharge you, and they got really cool shit. I got these Ronald McDonald's Hamburglar glasses, like collector's item things for like $4 or $5 each. They had an old Simpson watch I was going to get Lisa, and then when I went back to buy it, it was gone. Yeah, man, it's fuck. I'm sorry. I'm like thrown. I'm pretty good about knowing where my moral code is and sticking with it. I'm pretty good at that usually. So I was gone. I was traveling for so long. I got real clear minded. I got real passionate. Whatever. Anyway, what was I talking about? Oh, East Village Vintage. Yeah, it's on 12th Street between A and B, towards B, right about 12th and B. On the north side of the street. It's fucking good. Go down there, tell them I sent you, and they will give you no discount. That's the episode. Again, for dates, check out arishafir.com for tickets. San Diego, only late show Sunday night. It's a holiday weekend. That's where we have one. Try to begin the wait list for the storytelling show on Monday, the 18th, the 9-year anniversary show for charity. The 19th, Ari Shafir Jew in the main room. And then, is that it for February? No, that can't be it for February. And then in March, I got Miami and West Palm. I got Tempe and, oh yeah, Cabin Weekend. I got Tempe and Phoenix. I got Vegas. April 6th, second show added in Toronto at the Danforth. You better hurry up if you want to sit up close. And then, that's it, Coachella, what is that, Portland, Cleveland in May. I have all these festivals written down. Funny Bone in Columbus in June. I'm definitely going back to Calgary, that'll be put on the schedule soon. And then, I gotta fucking do more scheduling, I gotta get some fucking books, on some dates in the books. I gotta go meet Santino! All right, you guys. Fuck. You ever have something you can't shake? It's in your head and you just can't shake it? It's like you can stop thinking about it for a moment. I honestly compare this right now to like breakups. I really do. You know, where it's like, I remember breaking up with, with Natasha. And I couldn't think straight. I was so heartbroken. And I couldn't think straight, but I was playing basketball on a Saturday with the guys. And while we were running up and down the court, it was clear. It was gone. All the heartbreak, all the anguish was gone. And as soon as the game ended, I remember like walking past the rim towards the water fountain at, wasn't Hollywood High. Have you seen the new graffiti at Hollywood High where those skateboarders skate? Dude, it's gorgeous now. Anyway, it was whatever it was near the 99 cent store. And walking, I mean, a 30-second, 20-second walk from the basket to the water fountain, and midway through that walk, it just started flooding back. The heartbreak just started coming back. Charles Fleischer said it once. He said he loves being on stage because when he's on stage, it's the only time he doesn't feel the pain. Not feel pain, feel the pain. It makes me think it's a never-ending. Yeah, it's like I get these moments where I stop thinking about it. And then you bring it up on a thing like this, or someone else brings it up, and I hate it. I hate fucking being a hypocrite. I hate it. I hate it. I guess that's good. You're supposed to use that hate to try to never replicate that situation, right? Don't you use your mistakes for growth, I guess, but it doesn't correct the thing, but can't even be like I was a younger person then. Fuck that. Anyway, all right, shake it. Happy Valentine's Day too. Wait, what was I going to say at the end of this? Do I got anything? No, I guess I don't. For West Palm in Miami, Paul Morrissey from that baseball podcast we did, probably one of the coolest podcasts I've ever done, was on the way to and at Yankee Stadium for a game. I think it's Talking Baseball. I think that's what it was. And that might have been the only other time I used that Simpsons song, Talking Softball. But Paul Morrissey, look it up because it puts you in a place. Like, that's what podcasts are. I use it as an example all the time. Puts you in a place of being able to be like, you're there. You can hear the crack of the bat as we're talking in Yankee Stadium. Anyway, he's going to open for me in West Palm and Miami. Miami on Thursday, West Palm on Friday, Saturday. And tickets are thegreat.com. And we're going to go to some spring training games, some Yankee spring training games. And then Adrian Appalucci, The Darkness, is opening for me in Tempe and Phoenix. I should start calling her The Darkness. She's so dark. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I mean, people talk about that Louis Parkland joke, and we're all like, Adrian, your Parkland joke was the night after it happened, and horrific. And no one talks about that. She goes, it's sexism. It's just you're not famous. You shouldn't get too famous. It's just shit works against you when you get too famous. Eyes point to you. I like where I am. You skate under the radar. I'm sure it'll change soon, you know, where that'll become like the new, like, I think the line of what they'll like look for, like, atrocities goes down and down until it'll eventually turn to like normal people. But I mean, there's no host for the Oscars, so maybe the tide'll turn. Maybe they'll be like, oh right, nobody's clear of this. Anyway, I don't know who my opener is going to be in Toronto yet. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the episode. Hope you enjoyed it. Ari Shaffir, Skeptic Tank, episode 348. The amazing Greg Stone. Nope, that's his album. This is An Emergency with Greg Stone. Over and out.
What? I can hear you.
I was. Hospital food!